about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, well, the gang's all here, I see.
Is that American for hello?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Good morning. This is Basic English. My name is Russell Ziske, and I'm going to be your instructor for the next 5 weeks. Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English, but there are just a couple of things I need to know first because I've never done this before. So, how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? A little English? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of beach.
Son of beach.
And now,
this is the band from Down Under, South America.
Our feature presentation.
Yep.
Down Under, very, you know,
South America.
Otherwise known as South America.
Hey.
Rodney. B, the great Harold Ramis. Morning, everybody. It's the all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 24th of February.
I look at Rodney and Harold Ramis about on the same level, genius-wise, comedic-wise.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
I mean, Rodney is every bit as funny as Harold Ramis.
Unintentionally, yes.
Just in completely different ways,
right?
I'm going to try to struggle through here, but about 5 minutes ago, the light bulb above my head started doing that thing where I guess it's dying and it's flickering.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm in some sort of torture basement on CSI or something. You know what I mean?
I like
it's just, it's so creepy when that happens, when that light bulb starts flashing like that. You just feel like something's way wrong.
You feel like you're going to get interrogated at any moment?
I do. It's very shaky. But, well, like I said, we'll press on because I am a professional. Look it up in the book. If you haven't heard about this story, it's going to blow your mind. It actually happened last April, but was just revealed yesterday. A couple in Northern California is out walking the dog on their property, and somehow they come across something that is buried in their yard. You hear about this yesterday?
I did not, no.
Well, it's the largest buried treasure ever found in the United States. They found 8 cans that were apparently buried back in the 1800s. Filled with gold coins.
What?
Brand new gold coins. 1,400 of them, dating from the mid to the late 1800s in nearly mint condition, found in 8 decaying metal cans. Where did they find them, by the way? On their own property.
That means they own them?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We have seen shipwrecks in the past where thousands of gold coins were found in very high grade, but a buried treasure of this sort is unheard of, said David McCarthy of the currency firm known as Kagan's. I've never seen face value in North America, and you have never seen coins in the condition that we have here. I've never seen this face value, excuse me. So basically, yeah, they found 1,400 coins. Let me see, nearly 40, 20 gold, there are 20 gold pieces, 50 $10 gold pieces, $4 or $5 gold pieces. There's one coin, an 1866 S Nomoto Double Eagle, whatever that means.
Sure.
That's valued at $1 million on its own.
Oh my God.
One of the coins. It's going to be worth more than $10 million, this find on their property while walking the dog.
What did they see? Do you know? Did they just see?
It doesn't say why they started digging, huh. or maybe 150 years on, the ground had, you know, maybe it had rained and washed away and they saw the corner of something, so started digging. But it was curious because the 8 cans were buried at different parts in the yard and they were buried at different depths, suggesting that they weren't all put in there at the same time. Like maybe this was some rich person, some guy who came out to the gold rush in 1849, who this was his retirement plan, is I'm just going to bury these in the yard. You know,
awesome.
I don't trust the banks or whatever. I mean, you can make up a whole backstory here. It's called the Saddle Ridge Hoard now. And they are going to be selling the coins online, mostly through Amazon. Some of them will be going on display. Some of them will be going into museums. And they are remaining anonymous, the couple is, because they don't want hoarder, you know, the people who go out, you know, looking for buried treasure. They don't want them all over their property.
Snooping around trying to find more.
Yeah. Can you just imagine literally 1 minute you're out walking a dog one night on your own yard, And the next minute, you're looking at $10 million in gold that no one knew was there.
Imagine the confusion of the dog. Why are my owners digging? That's my job. What's happening?
Must be very troubling for the dog. So that happened to those people.
That doesn't happen to any people, ever.
Crazy, crazy, crazy story. Isn't
wow.
It? $10 million in gold. So well done, California couple.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
I got to go home and dig.
Yes, you do. I think that'll work.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You mean to tell me communism has infiltrated our message?
Oh, I don't think that's what I mean to tell you, but you can make up your own mind. What's up with Florida?
That's a great question.
We're going to kick off the show with that just after the first Showbiz Beat, about a half hour from now, just after 6.
I know we say this all the time about how hunked up Florida is. I think this week in Florida is the single craziest week we've ever had.
Yeah, and it took us a long time to realize. You know, we thought for a while, oh, it just seems like the stories are coming out of Florida. We're not really paying attention. There are probably just as many stories coming from other states that we're just not paying attention. But that's just not the case.
No.
It is 99% of these stories come out of Florida.
And wait till you hear this round of tales from, you know, just this past 7 days. It's really gonna make you question why we allow Florida to stay in the Union.
There's a TV show that debuted last night called Game of Arms.
How was it?
First of all, it was 1 hour.
That's a lot of arm wrestling.
Wouldn't you guess that it would be, you know, half hour, easy half hour. But no, it was an hour.
How long did it feel like?
I brought in highlights. You know what? It was really well done. Like, the production values were great.
Wow.
They
okay.
used music, and they had a really good announcer, and okay. a lot of slow motion to make it.
Do they treat it like a sporting event?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I mean, it's absurd. Don't get me wrong. It's all about arm wrestling. So it's ridiculous.
Can't wait.
But man, oh man, they take it seriously. There are different groups around the country, Bean, that have they have their arm wrestling, you know, groups, and then they all got their names, and then they travel. And man, is this life or death for these people?
Had no idea.
Love it. Jeff Probst will be on the show today, the host of Survivor. We have Matt Fowler from IGN talking about Hulk Hogan returning to the WWE.
How sad.
Yeah, that's weird. There are certain people you just go, you know what? You had your time in the spotlight. Maybe let it go.
I just wish he didn't have to work.
Yeah, you would think so. But you don't know if he does or if he just misses being in the spotlight or what. But we'll talk to him about that. Plus, we've got Petros Papadakis on the show today. I guess there was another 2 hours of The Bachelor last night.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. DJ Qualls in the studio.
Fantastic.
One of our favorite people ever. He's going to be here talking about the new show Legit, which comes back tonight. And I've seen it, and it's awesome. Tonight's episode, Loveline, includes Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike. And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, also coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
If I had to make a list...
Yes?
If I had to make a list about my favorite Dave Grohl songs, I think that would be number two. I think about number two of all my favorite Dave Grohl songs.
We might need to talk about list making, guy.
There's nothing to talk about.
Oh, please. We'll decide that.
Hey, that's the voice of Ralph Garman here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Taking a look at our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
So many things. This Johnny Depp Amber Heard relationship.
What's happening?
Oh, wow.
Clean that out.
Had some bell. My bell was squished up against some paper.
Yeah,
sorry.
Need some Goo Gone there on that bell. Get rid of that.
Got a janky bell.
I can't help but be happy.
Yeah.
I should be jealous. I should be furious. I should want her for my very own.
Yeah, but you know that she's out of your league.
Yeah,
as do
that's
I.
True.
So,
but
good for him.
They just seem so happy together. They say that Amber's influence on Johnny is... considerable in terms of bringing him out of his shell. You know, he is notoriously shy in public, but he was on the red carpet for the premiere of his girlfriend's movie 3 Days to Kill that she does with Kevin Costner. And the photos were in Us Weekly magazine this week. And there are the two of them even stopping and kissing in front of the paparazzi. Something
wow.
that Johnny wouldn't ordinarily ever do. But they say she's just given him a new outlook on life. And why not, right?
Yeah. I think she'd be happier with me.
She's my princess, the most beautiful girl in all the four kingdoms.
You don't understand how pretty she is.
K-Rock listener Nick 2.0. That's him.
I'm going to pick up that screenplay one of these days.
Yeah, no, you're not.
I'm going to start reading that. Mm-mm. Kanye West doesn't have all fans in the fashion industry. One of them is pretty high-powered, Tim Gunn. You know, fashion guru from...
Project Runway?
Yeah, Project Runway.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, I don't watch that.
Say America's Next Top Designer, but something, you know, it's that show.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Talks about Kanye West's clothing line, including his T-shirt line.
Right.
Which is a T-shirt. He designs a T-shirt.
Right.
Just a T-shirt.
But what is it?
No, just a T-shirt.
That's it?
$300.
What? Is it made out of something unique or weird or...
It's made of, Kim Kardashian's ass fur.
Well, they have to trim her once a month anyway.
That's right.
Why not use it?
Tim says, the only thing dumber than a plain $300 t-shirt is someone who would buy it. And while we're talking about the Kardashian clan, Bruce Jenner in the news.
What's she up to?
Now, easy. They say that Bruce may take a break from his plastic surgery reinvention of himself because word has it that the folks over at Dancing with the Stars are asking him to come aboard, come join their cast.
Okay.
However, sources are saying that the producers have put a caveat on the offer saying he's got to stop. He's got to stop with the drastic new look. They don't want the long nails and the weirdness. They just want Bruce.
They want him to compete as a male?
They don't want Brucilla. They want Bruce.
Right.
And they want the man America has come to know and love. And then after he's on the show, he can just go ahead and do whatever.
Finish
he
up.
Wants. Yeah. So we'll see. They're going to announce shortly who the next lineup is. And speaking of long hair, I thought this was funny. Jared Leto, apparently he's got a big problem. He and his team are hard at work strategizing, in the words of one source, over how to wear his hair on Oscar night.
Long hair? Don't care.
Because he has extremely long hair.
Right.
And it's a problem usually facing just female actors on the red carpet. What do you do with your hair? What's Jared going to do with his hair on Sunday night? It's a quandary.
Do we have Hair Watch?
Do we have Hair Watch 2014?
Smells like butt hair.
The original plan, he says, was to cut it all off. But when it came time, he just couldn't bring himself to do it.
Yeah.
His stylist says it's really important that he doesn't look like a woman. That's the biggest challenge.
Well, the ponytail's not helping with that.
No, it's not.
And the fact that he's nominated for a role at the Oscars in which he played a woman.
Yeah. What? But when you have long hair, if you're a guy, what are your options? You just gotta let it go, right? You can't put it up in a bun or a beehive or a ponytail or something. You just look goofy.
That's what he's been doing though at all these award shows so far, is ponytail.
At worst, bun. He had one bun.
That's right.
On top
that's
of
right.
His
yeah.
head.
Yeah.
It's like, just put a couple pencils in there, Louise, and go get me a cup of coffee. Type up my letters. What's going
you
on?
Could, you can do a top knot.
What is that? It's like a samurai thing where you tie
your
hair.
You know where it goes up at the sticks up at the top of your head?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's quandary.
I am extremely hairy.
Yeah. It's a good-looking man, that Jared Leto.
He sure is. He sure the hell is.
Today's celebrity birthday is singer Michael Bolton. Is 61 years old today. Isn't it funny how Michael Bolton sort of reinvented himself by having a sense of humor about himself and his career?
Lonely Island,
yeah. And those commercials for Honda he did over the holidays.
Oh, that's right.
And he's just—he went from being just a massive douchebag that everyone made fun of, and now everyone's like, "Hey, he's kind of a cool dude. We like him." Actor Greg Gerwig is 56 years old today. Bassist Tim Comerford from Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine, 46 years old. Erykah Badu, the singer, is 43. Teresa Palmer, very lovely and talented actress from Warm Bodies most recently. She is 28 years old today. But the reason we celebrate the day, super talented and lovely singer Corinne Bailey Rae is 35 years old today. Corinne Bailey Rae, of course, very talented. And Kevin is a big fan. I remember as if it was yesterday when Kevin was talking about her at the Grammys.
I don't remember.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Rae.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Kevin, goddammit.
Whose birthday is it, Kevin?
That girl.
Who is it?
The singer.
What is her name?
Corinne Bailey Ray.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Heal. You're healed. You can walk.
Oh, I'm not healed.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
1 hour from right now, the award-winning, excellent host of Survivor, Jeff Probst, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then Kevin walks us through the premiere last night of Game of Arms. Forget Game of Thrones. Arm wrestling's where it's at. Can't wait to hear about that.
We might need to talk to one of these combatants.
Hells yeah.
Yeah.
Love to. First, though, I got a question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now
in Florida.
The Sunshine State, America's penis, whatever you want to call it, Florida has got it going on. And this week, maybe more than any other week, we have to ask what's up with Florida. Kevin, I know you saw this story yesterday about the woman who called 911. Just after 6 o'clock two nights ago, Maria Montanez Colon was just horny, basically, is why she called 911. I mean, it was under the guise of she couldn't find her car. But she called the police officer who arrives at her home, and she's very drunk. The woman is 58 years old and is not as hot as you want her to be when you hear the story.
She doesn't look a day over 78.
She told the officer, hey, you're sexy. She asked if he was married, according to the incident report. And then she started, as the article explains, oversharing, telling the officer, I haven't been penetrated in years. Adding, I'm so horny. The officer tried to steer the conversation back to the topic of the call, asking what he could do for her. Her response was, you can F me, according to the report. The officer left. Less than an hour later, she called 911 again, complaining that the first officer who had come to her home had ticked her off. The original officer arrived along with a second officer, and then she said, he was a perfect gentleman, but when I asked him to F me, he turned me down, and that made me so angry. When asked by the original officer, she remembered the conversation about, hey, you know you're misusing 911 by keep calling us for this. She said, I do, but how else am I going to get you to F me?
Well, that didn't work, so it's going to have to be another way.
She was arrested, by the way, and booked once again for misusing 911. It is her fifth arrest since the beginning of 2013. So she's having a hell of an evening. Also in Florida, again, how bizarre is this state? You know, the Stand Your Ground law has been in the news a lot lately because of the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case. And then, you know, the guy who felt like he was threatened by the teenagers with the loud music. And then the other guy who thought he was threatened by the guy throwing popcorn in the movie theater. Everybody's shooting everybody down in Florida. And they all just go, oh, stand your ground. I felt threatened.
Right.
Which is all you need in Florida. If you feel threatened, you're allowed to shoot and kill somebody. This is a blind man in Florida who had shot and killed a drinking buddy in 2012, has now been reunited with his guns. He was not prosecuted for the crime because he used Stand Your Ground. Now, I don't know why this blind guy who was drinking with a friend thought that he was in danger, but he shot and killed somebody, and he had to sue to get his guns back because they said, look, we're not prosecuting you for the crime, but you can't have guns.
Yeah, why
I don't
is
know,
a blind
maybe
guy
because
have
you're
guns?
Blind. Right. The judge said he had no choice but to give the man, John Wayne Rogers, his guns back. I have to return property that was taken under circumstances. I have researched and found that there is no case law to say otherwise. So he has been reunited with his Glock handgun and his Remington assault rifle that he shot James DeWitt, 34, with from a distance of 18 inches back in 2012, by the way.
Oh, my God.
So this blind guy now gets his guns back. By the way, earlier it was reported that he had fired 15 rounds from a handgun at his cousin during another drunken night 4 years ago, but told reporters he wants to continue to stay armed because it is his constitutional right. That's what's going on in Florida, by the way.
How about a little law change there?
Here's a Florida man accused of stalking his ex-girlfriend. He called the woman 145 times in the span of 11 hours on Friday. Look, it's been a while since I've been in a new relationship. But if a woman doesn't answer the first 130 times you call, don't you give up.
I think maybe that number needs to be way lower. Like, let's say 5.
Kirk Tribb, 36, lives in Pompano Beach, faces charges of aggravated stalking. He allegedly called the woman's Boca Raton workplace, and when a police officer answered the phone, he said, I'm not scared of the cops. I'll give you my address. You'll have to call the SWAT team on me. So, of course, they did, and he was arrested. So he made a lot of very bad choices. Two more in this edition of What's Up with Florida. Here's a man maybe you saw on the news, a South Florida artist who was very upset that the local museum, the Perez Art Museum in Miami, was displaying so much work from international artists. He felt that they were missing out on some great local artists such as himself. I did it for all the local artists in Miami that have never been shown in museums here. What the it is that he's referring to is he walked into the museum, picked up a vase, and threw it to the ground, smashing it into many, many pieces. Unfortunately, what he didn't know is that the vase was by a very famous Chinese artist named Ari Weiwei, and it was worth over $1 million. He is now on the hook for that, intentional vandalism, and he's facing felony criminal mischief charges for destroying $1 million in property.
I need to change my last name to Weiwei.
Right? Ali Wee Wee. And finally, in this edition of What's Up with Florida, the man's name is Eric Ortiz. He has a very interesting way of dealing with his fears. Like many people in America, maybe many of our listeners right now, he is deathly afraid of spiders. Everyone fears spiders, says Ortiz. What did he do to get over his fear? He had a giant tattoo of a black widow spider put on his face.
Yeah!
What? That's why I got it, just to, like, make me know that's what I fear, but not to fear it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
is what he said.
No, we don't.
Everybody looks at it and is like, damn, spider. Because if you're going around your house, you know what I'm saying? You're going to see those spiders. You're going to jump. You're going to jump. So putting one on my face, I say, you know what? I'm going to see what people think. What do people think? He's not the sharpest guy I've ever heard interviewed, by the way.
No kidding.
Some people say, why did you get it? You're never going to get a job. Other people say, it's cool, man. The tattoo on my face, I would never get it, but that one came out pretty cool. He said his girlfriend was mad at him, but he feels like this is the best way to face his fear is by forcing himself to look at a spider every day so he will no longer be afraid of spiders. By the way, he's just a prize in general. He's got a criminal record, including charges of burglary. He's got domestic battery charges, possession of a Schedule 4 substance, retail theft, violation of injunction for protection, loitering, prowling. He's done it all, and now he's doing it all as a felon with a giant Black Widow spider tattoo on his face.
Nice.
That, ladies and gentlemen, makes me ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Imagine Dragons on the way, and of course the Red Hot Chili Peppers, because it is K-Rock, and the latest from Vampire Weekend as well. Hey, the Kevin and Bean Afro Line is all yours, kids. It's just sitting there, gathering dust, waiting for you to call. Leave a message on any topic at 323-520-AFRO. You call us, we play it back on the radio.
We get our share of crazies. We used to have, last year we had Crazy Woman. And we're very disappointed that she hasn't called back this year. I thought you guys had a
love connection. I really felt that you two were going to end up together somehow.
Play, give people a little taste of Crazy Woman.
Barack Obama's Lucy did not murder me.
So she would call and she'd say stuff like that completely like out of context and we'd have no idea what she was talking about. Then she'd call back and she'd say,
that's what my car insurance company and the police have been waiting to hear.
we never quite got our heads around what she was trying to tell us.
Well, now it's Angry Guy. An angry guy is very, very angry for unknown reasons at certain parts of us. And the first call is about that.
Kevin was having an affair with Crazy Lady. The Crazy Lady is married to Angry Guy. He got rid of Crazy Lady, and that's why Angry Guy is so mad at Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's quite a quite a backstory. Yeah.
Kevin Ryder, wino. Whenever you become tired of eating In-N-Out burgers, don't worry. You have another option. Go to Fat Burger, you bitch.
Now, all right, he's angry at me. I don't know why, but aren't those two restaurants, I mean, one's better than the other, but aren't they pretty much the same thing? That's not a...
I don't know what his point was.
That's a strange thing to yell at me about.
Well, if you don't go to Denny's, then go to IHOP. I mean, right. I don't know. I don't get what he's trying to say.
Here's a listener that's doing an impression of Angry Guy.
Hey, here's my impression of Super Mean Afro Guy. Hey, Bean Bastard. You're creepier than an old guy sniffing kitty underwear at a preschool library. You asshole.
See, wow, now, that's a good impression.
That is a good impression, A. But B, he never has that much of a reason.
Right. He's just mad for the sake of being mad.
It's always something nonsense.
Wouldn't it be great if Angry Afro Guy and Crazy Afro Lady got together? I mean, can you imagine their kids? Kevin, you better not come to my Halloween party. Otherwise, Barack Obama will give you roofies.
I love that our listeners are basically writing a radio play about these crazy people that call the Afro Line.
Oh,
you, Omar.
I think that was an F.U. Omar. Why? Okay. I don't know.
You, Omar.
Still don't know.
Are people calling to say anything?
They're saying what we're hearing, Bean.
Okay.
Free OJ.
What?
Free OJ.
OJ. That guy needs to step it up a bit. One of our favorite singers that we have discovered in our time here is Wing.
Yes, we
and
love Wing.
She's unbelievable.
This is your friend Wing. I heard you doing impersonations earlier, and I want to show you mine.
Okay, so we were taking calls of people who do celebrity impressions.
Right.
So this person starts off as Wing, and now Wing is going to do impressions of other people.
Oh, second, not stir.
And now I do Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll get down to the chopper.
I don't know what's happening. Is somebody dosing the city water supply?
What about this?
I need toilet paper!
Oh.
I need toilet paper! Somebody bring me some toilet paper!
Poor girl has been in the bathroom now for 4 days waiting for us.
There was a Grantland.com article that referred to Bean and I as chuckleheads.
Right.
And I gotta be honest, we never thought of ourselves as chuckleheads before, but now we sort of like it.
Chuckleheads? You guys wish you were chuckleheads. More like f***leheads.
Oh.
Am I right? You see what I did there?
Yes.
It's like the first syllable
right.
was switched out for a curse word.
I called
you f***lehead.
Right.
That hurts that we can aspire to be chuckleheads, but we won't even get there.
An impression of Bean?
I don't want to talk about The Bachelor. The Bachelor is not manly enough for me. Let's talk about Downtown Abbey.
It's Downton, sir. It doesn't make any difference. The next call, although he denies it, is Omar. Why is Omar's the guy that goes through the Afro calls? Why would he be calling himself?
Hey, Kevin, the other day I was driving around and I heard on the radio the Wiz Khalifa song Young, Wild, and Free. And for a split second there, I thought that we were going to hear Kevin's a drunkie. But I was sadly disappointed because it wasn't. So can you please hook me up? Thank you. Kevin's a drunkie. Play it. This is not Omar. You.
Great idea, Omar.
So what, we get drunk. So what, we smoke weed. We're just having fun. We don't care who sees.
That's all you get. You know why?
Excuse me. Keep going.
That's what?
Keep going.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
Oh.
Maybe he's dumb.
Oh.
He's special needs. What's he talking about?
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRO. We've got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one main one?
Where was you?
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh my God!
I saw him as a what do you call him?
Guy
that does color commentary.
By the way, just for the movie theaters,
It's not a hard one, but if you heard it,
but it is the way you heard it.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular duck
fan you watch all the time, him?
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his. You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it, like they say.
Yes,
and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just did, hours. Hours.
But the photo shoot really looked good.
So what, he sounds drunk? So what, he can't speak? Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
Now that's par for the cake. For the course.
I got it.
I don't know, that's a toss-up.
and
who's the disadvantage in this story?
When good men fail to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is.
We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude.
I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what, he sounds drunk? Oh, wow. So what, he can't speak? Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
All right, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours.
Not since Boston mobster Whitey Bulger was arrested last year has there been this much excitement in the FBI, because they were part of the operation that put El Chapo behind bars. This is a fascinating story. This drug lord, Kevin, that they captured Friday. Well, let's hear a little bit of the news, and then we'll tell you why this guy is maybe the most interesting man in the world.
The arrest over the weekend of the head of one of the world's most sophisticated narcotics networks proved a major victory for both U.S. and Mexican law enforcement.
Mexican Marines led Joaquin El Chapo Guzman away in handcuffs on Saturday. Just before dawn Saturday, they stormed into Guzman's room and captured him without firing a shot.
They've been tracking him for how long?
Well, he escaped from prison in 2001. He had been in jail for about 8 years. He's been convicted on all sorts of drug charges. He's the guy who's responsible for up to 25% of the drugs coming into this country. They found dozens and dozens of tunnels in his operation. He's the guy who's always digging between the Mexico and the U.S. So they've been looking for him hardcore. He's public enemy number one. He was tops on the list of people that they were looking for. It's like finding Osama bin Laden, finding this guy.
Wasn't this guy in the Forbes list of richest people in the world or something?
He was number one on the Forbes list of richest people in the world in 2009. Yes. This guy's insanely rich. So far, since they arrested him on Friday, they have found over 46 vehicles that he owns, 16 houses, 4 ranches, and apparently he was just one of these guys who, I mean, he's become a folk hero in much of Mexico. He's beloved by the people because he spends so much money. He's the kind of guy who walks into a restaurant and says, "All right, no one's allowed to leave until we do, but I'll pay for everyone's meal." So, I mean, he does crazy stuff like that all the time. It's really just they got to make a movie about this guy. So now that he's gone, what happens to the drug operation? You know, they don't just close it down because the boss is back in jail, right? He has two brothers. One of them is named El Pollo, the chicken, and the other brother is named El Chapo. And right now it's looking like El Chapo is going to be taking over for El Chapo. And I don't know. I don't know anything about him, but I can't imagine that he's going to be quite as colorful and beloved as El Chapo was. But we wanted to find out more about what's going on down there. So we asked producer Dave if we could talk to El Chapo, and I think we've got him on the phone right now.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Is this Luis El Chapo Guzman?
Si, this is El Chapo.
Well, El Chapo, how are you feeling about your...
Hold on a second. Hey, Tecate. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
What's going on? What are you doing?
Are you having a beer?
I'm looking through dumpsters behind the restaurant for cans.
What?
Looking through dumpsters? Isn't your family worth billions of dollars?
Yeah, how do you think you get keep so rich?
Not my dumpster diving.
Hey, these cans, you get like 4 cents on every can.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's why they call you El Chapo. So how are you feeling about your big brother now being back behind bars?
I can't believe Joaquin is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll put an enormous responsibility on my shoulders now.
Yeah, you've got quite an operation to run now, right?
And the people. So, hey, your brother came in. He bought me dinner. Everybody get paid the dinner bill.
Right.
Hey, forget that. Those days are over. It's stupid. Who buys dinner for other people?
Well, I think he was doing it to be popular, because that way he could count on the people's support. They could protect him.
Yeah, but at the end of the night, who gets the bill? El Chapo.
Well, right, but El Chapo was the richest person in the world.
But it adds up, okay? A couple restaurant bills here, a couple cars here, a couple mansions here. Next thing you know, you're broke. That will not happen to El Chapo.
I don't think you're going to run out of money anytime soon, El Chapo.
Not the way I live, you're right. The way my brother lived, they would have, but not for me.
I think you got to spend money to make money in that business, is what I'm saying.
I think you have to make money to make money.
Well, that's hard to argue as well.
You're way stupid. Spend money to make money, no. You have to make money, then you make money. So I keep my money when I make it. You see me come to a restaurant, you pay your own damn bills.
Okay.
You buy my dinner.
Okay.
You buy my dinner, I'll kill you.
Okay, wow. Well, you are El Chapo.
I am El Chapo.
Yeah.
We're changing things in the way the operation is run. Very. We have to be much more smart.
Okay.
Uh-huh. We have to stop with all the extravagance.
Okay.
And we have to streamline the operation.
Like what? Okay. Like how exactly? That seems like
No more shootings.
No more shootings.
You're not going to kill anybody? Why?
You know the price of bullets are these days?
No, I know, but...
There was one scene where my brother killed somebody. 500 bullet cases found on the scene.
Wow.
500 bullets.
Yeah.
Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. That's what I hear. Every time my gun goes off, that's what I hear. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
But isn't that how your brother controlled his enemies?
There's other ways to kill people. They're much more cost-efficient.
Okay.
What I do is I come up to you with like a rusty nail. And I scratch you, and I give you a horrible infection. And sometimes 6-8 months later, you get so sick. And then maybe eventually, if it's not treated with the proper antibiotics, you die.
That doesn't seem very efficient there.
But rusty nails are a dime a dozen in Mexico.
Yeah. So cheap.
So cheap.
Yeah. I guess I can see that.
Also, I will call you in the middle of the night.
Right.
And wake up you from a deep sleep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Interrupt your REM sleep.
Right?
That takes years off your life if you don't get good REM sleep.
So you're just going to beat your enemies by making them tired.
Hey, is your refrigerator running? You better catch it. And then I hang up. And then, I'm so tired, I can't get back to sleep. El Chapo called me. And, 20, 25 years later, boom, you're dead.
But that plan takes 25 years.
I know, but I had a friends and family discount on my phone. Cost me practically nothing. By the way, who's paying for this phone call? Did I call you?
I don't think...
That's international rate. I gotta go.
No,
okay. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Vampire Weekend.
Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as full bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt.
What is the Joe Schmo show?
Come on. Boom. How about that? Ralph Garman on Jeopardy. Hey, they'll never do another Schmo, will they, Ralph?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Okay.
I just thought of the last one, though.
Asked and answered. I really don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
I think because the first one was a really big hit on basic cable, a big basic cable hit, which led immediately to the second one, which did not fare so well and wasn't as good as the first. And then I think they thought, some years later, well, as time has come, we'll do it again and people will have missed it and will remember the success of the first one, and then it'll be a smash hit again.
Right.
And then it was not.
It wasn't?
And so
it was not.
The ratings were not good for the third one.
So, missed the Falcon, too.
So, I think having tested those waters and not had much success, they will not go back to that one.
Okay.
Sadly.
Well, Survivor is certainly coming back.
Yeah.
A brand new episode.
Survivor keeps going on and on.
Season 28 comes back tonight on CBS. We'll talk to our friend Jeff Probst right after the top of the hour. First, though, here's Ralph at the Showbiz Beat.
Love me some Survivor. So sweet. I get to take the gentle journey from the just the tail end of Bachelor right into Survivor. Boom. Here's my reality television flow. Just one.
It's like a handoff. It's like a relay.
Oh, it's perfect. There's a little crossover, a little overlap there, and boom. I'm in Survivor. Brains, brawn, and beauty.
That's right. Two-hour premiere tonight.
Yeah. Can't wait. This is nuts. You know the Duck Dynasty show?
Love.
Stop it.
Love.
You just love it because you love the filet mignon of the sky.
That's correct.
That's all.
Love that, too.
You know, it's hugely successful, but don't forget that the family's money, the real money, comes not from that television show, but from their signature line of duck calls. The Duck Commander.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing. The Duck Commander. That. Making that has made them millionaires several times over.
You can make millions with that?
With the Duck Commander duck call. So much so, it was announced yesterday that the Robinson family has purchased the rights to the Independence Bowl, the college football game from CBS Sports.
What?
It will now be called the Duck Commander Independence Bowl. So now they own their own bowl game. They have the naming rights to a bowl game.
My head is exploding
right
now.
Isn't that crazy?
That is bizarre.
Welcome to the Duck Commander Independence Bowl.
Brett Musburger will have one of those in the booth.
Exactly. He's looking at girls in the crowd. Girlfriends of the starting quarterbacks going, I'd like to duck her.
Kind of makes me miss the Vuvuzelas when I hear the Duck Commander.
Yeah, right.
Hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities. Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
Yeah. No, they're not. A lot of people were asking after Harold Ramis's passing if it would have any effect on Ghostbusters 3. Many people thought the project would be dead in the water without Ramis's participation. But a new story from The Hollywood Reporter says that that's not the case at all. In fact, Ramis's participation in the third Ghostbusters was going to be minimal at best. Aykroyd was pretty much the driving force behind the screenplay. It was mentioned that Ramis, Murray, and Aykroyd would have cameos, brief appearances in the third outing to set up the passing of the baton to the trio of newcomers, the new Ghostbusters.
All right, so they could still get away with it.
The script written by Aykroyd's input and also The Office writers Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupinitsky will now need to be slightly revamped, but a Project Insider says there'll be some repercussions, but not many.
Wow. Now, what's your level of interest, guys, as huge Ghostbusters fans in a Ghostbusters without much of those guys?
Depends on who they cast as the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, you know, if it's Chelsea Handler and Carrot Top and Jeff Dunham, then maybe
I'll give you $10 million.
I'll stay away. Maybe stay away. Those are the new Ghostbusters.
That's the case. This won't surprise you guys, but I was watching.
I have a list of Ghostbusters movies.
I know, but I was watching an interview yesterday online with Ray Parker Jr. And they were asking him the same thing about Ghostbusters. You know, are they going to have you come back? You can do a new theme song. He's like, well, you know, I don't know too much. They're still early in the process, but I can't see them doing the movie without me out there singing Who You Gonna Call. I mean, he certainly expects to be participating in Ghostbusters 3.
Without. Was it he who ripped off I Want a New Drug, or was it vice versa?
I can never remember.
I can't remember either.
Someone sued someone in one. I know that.
Yeah. So, Ghostbusters 3 may still happen. By the way, if you're a fan, like I am, of Harold Ramis' work, and you want to catch some of his film, VH1 will be honoring him with a marathon of Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, and Animal House this Saturday.
All right.
March the 1st, beginning at 7 p.m., and an encore on Sunday at 11 a.m. You can check that out. More TV news. Sci-Fi Channel has canceled its supernatural show, Being Human, after 4 seasons. So you won't get to see the vampire and the ghost and the werewolf live together anymore. That's going away, which makes me sad. As does the fact that Matthew Perry's got a new TV show. Well, new being a relative term. It's going to be The Odd Couple on CBS.
Oh, The Odd Couple.
Matthew Perry is rebooting The Odd Couple. You may remember the wildly popular sitcom with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall for many years.
They were just
on television.
Polar opposites.
It was crazy. One guy was really sloppy and sort of, a boorish behavior kind of guy.
Right.
And the other guy was very fastidious and neat. and they had and they lived together in the same apartment.
Oh, that's crazy.
They were an odd couple, those two. Can two grown men live together without driving each other crazy? The show used to ask us at the beginning of every episode.
I gotta be honest.
And the answer was no. You know, and they made each other crazy.
Matthew Perry seems like a good choice for that.
But here's the thing. When that show, first it was a very successful Broadway play by Neil Simon, The Odd Couple.
Oh, okay.
Then a very successful film with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Okay.
And then a very successful TV series.
Right.
But when that came about, that concept of a guy who's really sloppy and a guy who's really neat, these two polar opposites who are forced to live together,
right,
was novel. That was a fresh comic concept when it was very popular. It's in the 60s is when that play was done.
Right.
Not so much anymore. You're telling me one guy's going to be sloppy and the other guy's going to be neat and that's going to get on each other's nerves? That's your show?
Depends on who writes it. It could be funny.
Stop it. You just stop it. They did another revamp version years ago of The Black Odd Couple.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, I was not aware of
yes,
that.
Yes, with Desmond Wilson, who played Lamont from
Sanford and Son.
Sanford and Son.
Okay.
And Ron Glass from Barney Miller. They played Felix and Oscar.
How'd that go?
No, it did not go well.
Not so good.
Then they did a female Odd Couple TV series.
I was not aware of that either.
This is true.
Okay.
They did two women. One was a sloppy woman, one was a neat woman. And it was a female Odd Couple. That did not do well.
All right. Well, they haven't tried a Friends Odd Couple, though, and that's where we're at now.
So Matthew Perry will play the sloppy one, Oscar Madison. No word on who will play Felix Unger, the neat freak.
I hope it's DJ Qualls.
Oh, me too. I'm Ralph Garman. Oh, let's do TV. Let's do birthdays real quick. Yeah, Teresa Palmer, 28 years old today. Erykah Badu is 43. Actor Greg German is 56. Michael Bolton turned 61 years old today. And Corinne Bailey Ray is 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One of the best shows of all time with one of the best hosts of all time. Give me a little bit of Survivor music, if you would. Returns tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. Actually, two episodes tonight, two tribal councils, two players eliminated, and once again, Jeff Probst will be delivering the bad news to them. He joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. Hi, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
I couldn't avoid seeing you on my TV yesterday. I wasn't even trying to watch you on TV, and I think I saw you on five different shows yesterday. What the hell?
Well, I'm now promoting the new season. I'm jazzed. We've been on a good roll with our last three, and I think people are going to dig this one.
Now, Jeff, this is Survivor Cagayan, and I
Cagayan.
Whatever. Like anyone's ever heard of that? Are you just making that up now? Can you?
No.
Just...
What's funny is I always end up doing a Kansan pronunciation of every word that's indigenous, you know, every local word I end up screwing up. But this time, a representative from the Philippines was out there on day one, and there are like 20 beats happening on day one that I'm focusing on.
Right.
And one thing they kept saying is, remember, Cagayan. Cagayan.
So that's Cagayan. That's a place.
It's a place.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Is it a little island in the Philippine Islands?
No, it's an area. It's the northern, almost the northern tip, really. And these,
I got you.
Philippines have 8,000 islands.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, you guys always find ways to mix it up. You've done so many fascinating matchups throughout the years of the show. Have you ever done this one before? Brawn versus brains versus beauty.
And this one came, we kind of reverse engineered this one. We were in casting and we were liking a lot of people and we were sort of gathering to get their cards together and looking at them. And our casting director, Lynn Spillman, said, you know, we have a large number of smart people this year. What if instead of separating them on two different tribes, we put all the smart people together on one tribe? And that was, you know, we've talked about that before. But then she said, and look at this, we have two cops. We have a former NBA player. What if that's the Braun tribe? And look at this. We have a beauty queen, a cheerleader, a male model. They're the beauty tribe. And suddenly she goes, brains versus Braun versus beauty. And she had produced our next season. It was a great moment.
Now, I want to talk about these tribes because you do have, I mean, look, Survivor's known for some of the best casting on TV, but what a fascinating group of people in this Brains tribe. You've got the president of the Florida Marlins, now known as the Miami Marlins. You've got a professional poker player. You have an actual nuclear scientist on the team right now. How are these smart people? How are their personalities? Because we always think about Big Bang Theory and these super smart people can't really relate to others, but they have to kind of work together as a team. Tell me about that.
You just hit on kind of why this premise was so interesting. interesting. You just said it. You take the brain tribe, and they really are smart. And the average IQ is 130. This is no pretend. They're smart people.
Right.
But how are they going to do in a social game? And then you take the cheerleader and you say, well, she's just a cheerleader. True, but that just a cheerleader was in high school when she became a professional NFL cheerleader and was vaulted into this adult world. So socially, to the nuclear physicist, she's probably going to kick your ass when it comes to interacting with people. And then you have in the middle, you have people that rely on brawn and their physicality. And so the question is, do one of these qualities, is there a single quality that is more, you know, valuable than the other two?
Interesting. Now let's talk about the cheerleader, Morgan. Is she in the 28 seasons that you've been hosting Survivor? Is she literally the hottest chick you've ever had on the show, Jeff?
No.
Really?
No. I mean, Morgan's attractive. She's hot for sure. But come on, let's think back to the annals of Survivor. We've had some pretty good looking people.
Sure.
I don't think I could say Morgan is number one, but there's going to be a lot of guys that will argue she's top five, top ten, you know. But we've had 400 and something people play the game.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
You know, we've asked you this before, but with that many people playing the game and the show being on for so long, is there anybody that comes to the show that hasn't seen it and doesn't already have a preconceived idea of how to win it?
Occasionally, we will meet somebody that we think would be great for the show, and we ask them if they want to play. And then if we think they're good and they say yes, we give them the seasons and they start watching. And people get frustrated with that. Some people think you should only have people that apply. But the truth is that that's not necessarily the best recipe. You want a cross-section of America.
Right.
And so occasionally having a few people that don't play by the prescribed rules can mess the game up, and that's how life goes. You're expecting that person to react in a certain way, and they don't, and now what do you do? So it doesn't bother me that we will recruit people to come play the game. I think it's part of why the game still works, is that we keep it fresh. And I got to say to you guys, you're very similar in my book, in that I think I've told you about this, but one of my best buddies, Doug Larson, we work out together every day. I'm sure he and Cindy and Travis and Cody are listening. They let their kids listen on the way to school. He talks about your show in the same way some people talk about Survivor, in that how you keep it fresh, you keep it the same. It's exactly what I expect it to be, but it's never the same. It's always a little different. And that's really the key to staying on and staying relevant, is it has to be familiar, but it can't be the same.
I'd say that Bean is the smarts and I'm the beauty. Right? I don't know. I'm just...
This is the voice of Jeff Probst here at the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about the return of Survivor, CBS, 8 o'clock tonight. Real quick, I want to hit two things before you have to go, Jeff. Number one, in recent seasons, and you're right, you guys have been on a roll. These last two or three years have been among the best in the whole history of the series. The players are getting more and more cutthroat. Are we learning that the old way of doing business on Survivor, where you try to make friends and make alliances, is no longer effective?
I don't know. It's a great question. It's one we've been talking about, is that looking back to how it really began 14 years ago to where it is now. But I still think that the crux of the show is you have to trust somebody and you can't trust anybody. And
that's
how do you
deep.
Do that? Because there's only one winner.
Right.
It's not like there's a first and a great second place. Second place sucks. So sooner or later, I've got to cut your throat. But you and I both need each other to get to the end. I think of it as the prisoner's dilemma, which is, you know, a basic little experiment of two guys are caught for a crime, and the way the cops handle them, depending on whether you tell the truth or lie, will depend on how much time you get. But it's impacted by what the other guy does.
Right, yeah.
And so if the three of us were playing, we could get to the end together. But I want to win.
Yeah, but then at some point, yeah.
at some point. You got to look out for yourself. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. All right, final question for you, Jeff, and thank you again for the time coming on today. I was so happy as an organ donor to see the announcement you made this week that you are the spokesperson for Taylor's Gift. I want to urge our listeners to go to taylorsgift.org. Briefly, tell us what you got going on over there, Jeff.
Well, they actually came on our talk show last year that was on for a brief second, and their daughter had died, and she was, wanted her organs donated, and they donated her organs, and we had people on the show who were alive because of her daughter. It was really powerful.
Right.
And, I mean, for the mother of this girl to meet another mom who was alive with the heart of her daughter is pretty compelling.
That's powerful,
and
yeah.
I went and signed up, I went backstage and signed up. My wife signed up. My parents signed up. And then they called me and said, would you like to be a part of it? And I said, I'm 100% in because, some people have beliefs that they don't want to be a part of this. But otherwise, if you don't have a religious belief that stops you from doing it, why wouldn't you donate after you're gone the parts of you that are still usable to let somebody live or breathe or have a new lung or a new eye or whatever? It's just so simple and powerful.
Thank you so much for saying that. I think a lot of people will take it to heart when they hear it coming from you. And that website, again, is taylorsgift.org. Survivor returns tonight for 2 big hours on CBS at 8 o'clock. Jeff, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good talking to you guys.
Look, we all agree Survivor's a great show. But is it Game of Arms, which premiered last night on AMC?
Does it beat Game of Arms, you're saying? Is it a better show than Game of Arms?
Tell me.
No, nothing is.
Tell me about Game of Arms. I haven't seen it.
Game of Arms is a show about arm wrestling.
All right.
This is a real thing, and it's on AMC, and it's on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. And there are a bunch of clubs around the world, and especially around the United States, like the Erie Wrecking Crew and the New York City Arms Control and the Kansas City Rolling Thunder.
Wow.
And the Sacramento Arm Benders.
Do they have uniforms?
No, they don't.
Okay, just names. Gotcha.
The Baton Rouge Roughnecks. It's ridiculous. And they take it so unbelievably seriously, but so does the show. And it's so awesome, the production elements that go into it. Like, you can go campy with this, right? You'd think it might be funny if you're in on the joke and you're sort of having a good time.
Like they kind of did with Beard Wars. You could tell that the people were doing it knew it was a goof.
Yes. This has the production elements of Sons of Anarchy. It looks like it. It sounds like it. They take it unbelievably seriously. Here's one of the combatants talking at the beginning.
There's nothing like the feeling 30 seconds before I put my arm on the table.
Here's $1,000 for the winner. Let's get it on with the game.
When I tell people I'm a professional arm wrestler, they laugh and they give me a look and say, is that a real thing? I just say,
you ready to go?
Damn right it is.
Yeah! Are you with me, ladies?
There's less drama in a Super Bowl commercial.
Correct.
of the teams that have fought all NFL season long to play the big game than there is this guy going into a bar in Toledo and arm wrestling.
It is awesome. Here's the announcer as he begins to describe what exactly is going on in Game of Arms.
From Louisiana shrimp docks to abandoned inner city factories, a civil war rages. Arm wrestlers from the toughest clubs in the nation will leave their homes and families to hunt down rivals. Each week, arm wrestlers will test their minds and push their bodies to the breaking point.
This is it. This is all I have left.
They do it for pride.
Ready to go!
And hometown bragging rights.
I've lost houses, cars, women because of this sport. Is it worth it? Probably not. But I ain't gonna quit doing it.
Is it a sport? Do they think it's a sport?
Woo!
I don't know. And by the way, why are women on the list of possessions of his that he's lost? What's going on with this guy?
I think he's sacrificed relationships, I think is what he meant.
Is that what he means? Okay. You listen to the way they talk. It's like it's Zero Dark Thirty and they're going in after Bin Laden.
And the entire show is them screaming. Oh, I'm sorry. Them screaming and a lot of slow motion. It's an hour, and if you were to run everything at normal speed, it would be a half hour. But they do so many slow-mos where the camera moves in on your hand and your wrist, and then they look at your face and they can see your veins bulging, and it's just unbelievable.
What was your level of interest in watching actual arm wrestling, though?
There was 4 minutes of that.
Okay.
It was an hour.
Yeah.
There was 4 minutes of arm wrestling. It was absurd, and it's not very interesting.
Our next match is 38. Mike Sellier's weighing in at 195. Going up against 32-year-old Kenny Hughes at 210.
The fortunes of the entire team weigh on the shoulders of these long-time rivals.
Close-up of the face, close-up of the face, close-up of the muscle, close-up of the muscle. Slow motion, slow motion. Getting ready for the fight, getting ready for the fight. Take you inside his head, take you inside his head.
You hear him breathing, you hear him breathing.
It's on.
I think that tells you all you need to know about the show.
No, please. No, please.
This season on Game of Arms.
This season on Game of Arms.
That's what happens.
Are you with me, ladies?
It's the most absurd thing I've ever.
I know it seems like we've already put in a full day's work. We've already brought you as much entertainment as you have any right to expect on the Kevin and Bean Show today. But look at this. Petros and Ralph have the Bachelor Report for you next hour. DJ Qualls is still coming up, talking legit, returning tonight on FXX. Adam Carolla on the program. So much more still to come. And right now, our friend Matt Fowler. Oh, what happened to my phone there?
I don't know. It's pretty short.
There we go. My friend Matt Fowler is on the line, of course, from IGN.com. Hey, Matt. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
What you gonna do, brothers, when... Oh.
Try to get take two.
That hurt, actually. That was not a good idea.
Bean can do it for you. Go ahead, Bean.
What you gonna do, brothers, when Hulk Hogan is back on WWE? I'm 70 and I need the money, so I'm going back in front of the camera, even though I should be retired right now and just making sex tapes with my friends' wives. So, Matt, we very rarely talk about the WWE on this show, but we know you're a huge fan, and we know this is a big deal because Hulk Hogan is the biggest name in the history of the sport. But what's going on?
Well. You do wish that when someone gets to a certain age, they wouldn't have to look for the next gig, but he is someone who's out there hustling. I mean, you just saw him in the Super Bowl in a Radio Shack commercial, and he does a lot of stuff. But he's been brought back, but he was looking to come back, too, from WrestleMania 30. You know,
I am a real American.
Yeah!
There it is.
Walk it in.
Yeah, Hulk! The Hulkster!
That's not happening? So wait, so he wanted to come back to wrestle for the 30th anniversary?
He's in no shape to wrestle. In fact, the WWE has sort of a very strict physical test for in-ring action, and he did not pass.
But he tried. He wanted to wrestle?
There was a possibility that maybe he could have done something very limited, but right now he's doing the hosting gig. He is hosting the event, which is something The Rock did about 3 years ago.
Right.
Before The Rock started actually wrestling again. He just gets on the mic at the beginning of the show, introduces everything, keeps things flowing. But he's also back to promote the WWE Network. So they brought him back as sort of the spokesperson for not only this big WrestleMania, but the WWE Network.
Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Look, even a retired athlete stays involved with the sport. Sometimes they go on and do TV commentary like a Charles Barkley. Sometimes they're just a guy like Joe Namath, who they trot out in a fur coat to screw up the coin toss at the Super Bowl. I mean, you're always associated with the sport if you're a big enough name. And as I mentioned, Hulk is the biggest all-time name. So it makes sense to kind of remind people about the WWE who haven't thought about it in a while, and to kind of get his face in front of people. He's a very likable guy.
For instance, I just saw him on the Today Show this morning doing the same thing, pitching WrestleMania 30 on the WWE Network, his presence at the event, you know, being 30 years ago exactly, the event he helped make famous. So, yeah, it fits. And for a lot of people, this is the first time seeing him in a wrestling capacity in a long while. Now, he has not been away from wrestling because he has been a part of another promotion that people might not have watched, but it's on Spike, called TNA. So he, for the past 4 years or so, has actually still been a part of wrestling, just not WWE.
Now, has he been wrestling in those past 4 years?
He did for about two of those years. And then, you know, he's had numerous surgeries on his hip and so on, you know, all those leg drops over the years.
Sure.
He did a number on his spine and his hips and so on. So he stopped that about a couple years ago.
Once you reach the age of retirement, no more leg drops.
Yeah, no more leg drops.
It's just not
even if the occasion calls for it.
I do feel like he's not far from the point of where, you know, like, we don't want Muhammad Ali to box anymore. We're not going to want Hulk Hogan to be in the ring. Now, you made reference to the WWE Network, and this actually is kind of big showbiz news because they are trying something new. They've kind of created their own Netflix, really, right?
Yeah, this is actually, it's a big move, a big initiative, a big risk. They, for years, it's actually been years in the making, were thinking of a WWE Network channel as if it was on cable TV, and then they were considering a subscription premium channel model.
Right.
Then they partnered with MLBAM, who runs MLB.com, to do a 24/7 streaming service that's a lot like Netflix and can watch it on several devices. And you can watch old pay-per-views, you can watch their original programming, but the big selling point came when they said every pay-per-view will be available on the WWE Network, starting with WrestleMania 30, and it's $10 a month. So essentially, if you were somebody who was buying the pay-per-views for $40-$50 a month, you're saving a lot of money.
Right, right. So are these shows no longer going to be available on channels like USA anymore?
No. So the TV shows, and that's a whole other side issue. The TV shows actually are still going to be on USA Sci-Fi. In fact, there was a big news story last week about NBCU and WWE not coming to terms, renegotiation terms, to re-up their shows. And if something doesn't happen, their shows could go to different networks come September. But they will still be available. But you can watch the shows after they've aired, sort of in a Hulu-type sense.
Gotcha.
On the WWE Network.
Before we go, and this is the voice of Matt Fowler here, writer for IGN TV, IGN.com/TV. What's the popularity of WWE these days? Are there still millions of people who are invested in these storylines?
Not only that, but it goes worldwide. So it's an actual global thing, and they tour overseas, and people watch the shows overseas. And because of social media, it really brings everyone together. From a fandom perspective. But yeah, there's still millions. Yes, girls watch it. It's probably about 35-40% of the actual fan base. But I don't have any actual numbers, but it is
right,
very big.
Of course. Who's the most popular current WWE personality?
That would be Daniel Bryan.
Oh, Daniel Bryan, yeah.
Have you ever heard of him before, Kevin?
Nope.
Me neither.
Exactly. And that's part of the actual appeal of Daniel Bryan, is that he is not somebody who comes out and is very showy. In fact, he's everyman.
How are you not showy in the WWE?
Well, okay, actually, his yes chance, I don't know if you've seen that other sporting events, when a crowd starts going yes, yes, and pointing their fingers in the air, which has happened a few times. His yes chants over the years have now trickled over into other sporting events. So,
all right.
Because of, I don't know if you haven't seen it, but yeah, so his actual chanting has taken off as an actual chance at other events.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I only have room for USA, USA, and Yankees suck. That's it. That's as far as my chanting goes at sporting events, Matt. Come on. What are you doing?
But it does speak to the fact that if you haven't heard of Daniel Bryan, maybe they're not doing the best job of making, you know,
that's
putting
possible.
Him out there okay. in front of the cameras.
All right. Well, apparently we have a lot to learn. We will keep up to date with what's going on in the WWE and all the other cool stuff that Matt follows. You can follow him on Twitter at TheMattFowler. And again, it's IGN.com/TV. Thanks for the time. Be cool and eat fruit, okay?
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Very exciting for TV fans. Ralph, you mentioned Survivor coming back tonight. We got, The Americans is coming back tonight on FX,
yep.
And we got our Scandal coming back tomorrow, and maybe the one we're most excited of all about is the return of Legit. We had Jim Jeffries in a couple days ago. His friend DJ Qualls, co-star of Legit on FXX, is going to be joining us right after the top of the hour here in studio on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
So it's the second season of Legit, right?
Yes, that's right.
It's too legit.
Yes.
Yes, technically, yes,
it's
it is.
It's legit, too.
Too legit.
Right.
Too legit to quit.
Nice.
Thank you.
File.
Speaking of Kevin and how bad he is.
How? What?
Here's what you want to do. You want to sign up for the Morongo Good Times Blackjack Tournament that we are having Friday, March the 7th at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
You don't want any of what I got.
It's happening, but certainly below the waist, that's for sure. It is next Friday. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to be there. Kevin's going to be there. King of Mexico's going to be there. Beer mug's going to be there. And we're all going to have a good time.
Did you say beer mug?
I don't know what you're talking about. We're going to be there playing blackjack, tournament-style blackjack, which is really fun. We didn't really understand last year when we did it how exactly it was going to work, but it really moves, and it's a good time. And let's face it, how many brains do you need to play blackjack?
Not many.
A pretty simple game, right?
Yeah.
Come on out, have a good time. It's free to join up. $5,000 in cash will be the prize. Go to krock.com. to sign up. The party's going to continue as we take over tacos and tequilas there at Morongo afterwards. So you can celebrate your winnings by just downing fists full of margaritas, or you can drown your losses with fists full of margaritas. Either way, it works. Come and join us. I've got a seat at Kevin's table.
Yay!
This is what you want. This is the table you want to be at.
Yeah, if you want to lose.
Because Kevin will be there, I have a 12. Just let it go. And then he'll just stand on a 12 and get his ass beat. And
please.
Then, ooh, 20. I hit 20. Ooh, another picture card. 3 pictures. I win.
It's awesome.
Guaranteed winner. Call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First caller to get through. We'll get a seat at Kevin's table at our second annual Good Times Blackjack Tournament at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
So if you're looking for a short night, let's say that you have to someplace else to be that
looking
night.
For a short bus, then see where how Kevin shows up to the Morongo.
Now, it's on a Friday this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So not a school night, because last year, if I recall, Kevin couldn't drink or couldn't drink much.
No, I think that was the,
yeah, you're thinking about the poker tournament
we did someplace else. Yeah.
Okay. But, well, this is on a Friday, so he's going to be in full Kevin effect.
I'll drink everything you have.
Remember last year, Ralph, when we weren't allowed to drink at the tables?
Yeah.
And then
I was like, oh, I need to speak with management.
Ralph said that, and I showed up with a beer, and the dealers were like, what?
Hey,
we should, all right, yeah. Drink.
And the seal was broken, and madness ensued, and Kevin was literally shooting up heroin at the table at one point.
He was
tying off.
That's ridiculous.
And he was chasing the dragon.
That's never happened.
He had a syringe. It looked like a clown syringe. It was a giant comedy syringe. Four people had to hold it.
Oh, that's not true.
And they had to press the plunger with some sort of pneumatic device. It was massive.
Mm-mm.
Massive.
Like a monkey.
A massive syringe of smack.
Monkeys do massive
Monkeys
syringes.
Love the smack.
All right,
I'm out of time.
Can't
Let me just get a couple stories in. This is great news for humanity. Charlie Sheen, you know, he's getting married to his porn star girlfriend, Brett Rossi.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong there? She has announced that she wants to have babies immediately with Charlie and thinks Charlie will be an amazing father.
Obviously.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You should really check with his other children first before you slap the amazing father title on him. Before you buy him the coffee mug that says World's Greatest Dad,
yeah,
you may want to talk to Bob and Max, his kids with Brooke Mueller, who he's entrenched in an ugly custody battle over with their mom, and they were being raised by his other ex-wife, and then he turned on her, and it just became an ugly, messy, just debacle.
But this won't be that.
This won't be that. Right. No, because Charlie Sheen and a porn star, who could ask for better parents? I think that's an amazing combination of mental stability and love and selflessness, which is what you need to be a parent. Speaking of parents, Bruce Jenner, the man of the house over there at the Kardashian compound.
There's been some questions about that.
Rumors have it, that he is being offered a slot from his plastic surgeon. No. Being offered a slot in the next season of Dancing with the Stars. Now, the source says producers would like Bruce to remain the Bruce Jenner America knows and loves and ease off, take his foot off the pedal when it comes to the whole Adam's apple shaving, fingernail growing, long hair growing, feminine aspects of his recent image change.
There does seem to be some movement toward being a woman.
Well, look, who knows? Maybe he just wants to be an effeminate man.
Right?
Who knows?
Sure.
But they would like him to show up as much like Bruce Jenner as possible and as little as Bruceilla Jenner as possible. So we'll see what happens there.
Well, they don't want to have to put a permanent chiron on the bottom of the screen to identify for viewers who we're looking at.
Or have a question as to who to pair him up with when he dances.
Yeah,
does he dance with the guys? Does he dance with the girls? It's a big question mark.
Now, part of the reason they must be dying to have him say yes, though, is thinking about all those Kardashians in the audience, right?
Sure.
Are they still getting along?
As far as I know, he gets along fine with the kids.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know whether any of the girls would show up, you know, the ones that aren't his. He's got the two kids with Kris Jenner, chlamydia and...
I don't think that's right. Kylie and...
Cancer?
Kendall.
I think it might be cancer. I think you might be right.
Think it's cancer. I think it's Kendall.
Sure?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
It's coffin, isn't it? Coffin maybe?
Coffin and chlamydia. Coffin and klepto. Klepto and coffin.
I don't think so.
Look at the food beer mugs just pushing into his face. It's nuts. It's distracting.
Yeah.
Remember Slimer from Ghostbusters? I was talking about Harold Ramis recently. Remember Slimer from Ghostbusters, the green ghost, who just go down the hallway and take a giant tray in a hotel of room service and just tip it back.
That's what happens.
If he could dislocate his jaw, he'd be the happiest man in the world. If he could be like a snake and just eat things three times his own body size, he'd be a happy man.
Fire beer mug.
Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Bolton, 61 years old today. Greg German, very talented actor, probably best still known from his work on Ally McBeal, 56. Erykah Badu is 43. Teresa Palmer from Warm Bodies, another feature film. She is lovely, she is talented, she is 28 years old today. And Corinne Bailey Ray, one of my favorite singers. I've never heard any of her work, but I love her because Kevin had to say her name at the Grammys, and this is what happened.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Sounds fantastic.
That's what it's going to be like at the Morongo next Friday, people. You're in for a treat.
I'll take a card. I have two cards.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin Bean Show at 8:08. Come on,
Jason. Are you able to figure out those headphones? What's going on here?
The headphones are tough, dude.
They're just headphones.
It's early.
All right. You know, little kids know how to put on headphones, right, DJ?
I know.
Okay. Hey, we couldn't be more excited to welcome Legit back to our TVs now on FXX. Season 2 kicks off tonight at 10 o'clock. And maybe our second favorite actor on the whole show, DJ Qualls, joins us in the early show right now.
Second favorite?
We just had Jim in a couple days ago and enjoyed very much catching up. Well, you can still vault back to number one, depending on how this interview goes.
He's a
how
cool
you been,
guy.
Man?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's a little slow going this morning. As you said, I can't really operate the headphones, but I'm here.
Right. Well, you don't enjoy 8 a.m. I understand that.
I don't.
That's legit.
I don't.
No pun intended.
Hey!
That's fair. That's fair.
Remember in Comic-Con when we interviewed him? What time was it? Like
like
it's like noon, I think.
I was hurting so
bad. Like 1 p.m. or something. And DJ was, I don't know, he'd just fallen asleep from the night before or something.
Yeah, I had. I had been asleep for like 4 hours. The first day of Comic-Con, you go to get everything out of your system. And I knew that I was doing an interview with you guys, but I just couldn't pull it together. Like at 4 a.m, I was like, I got to go to bed. and I just started getting hangovers like the last year. My metabolism is so fast, I would go to sleep and burn it off.
And wake up feeling fine.
Yeah, wake up feeling fine.
What a lucky bastard.
I can't anymore.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, DJ, I know. Caught up with me.
How old, before you answer, I think we should try to guess, because DJ is one of those guys that you see on TV and you can't tell if he's 18 or 70.
I'm pretty sure if I had to pick like which end of the spectrum, I'm going closer to 18 though.
How old do you think DJ is?
I would say DJ is 24.
No way.
I was going to say 35. I was going to say 35.
You're right, dude. Are you on my IMDb page?
No. Are you serious? Are you really? I mean, 35 exactly?
Yeah.
Oh, that was totally just a guess.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't have been surprised if you were 45 either, though.
Yes, you just would have.
I would not have been surprised. DJ's he's a weird-looking guy.
You're like hugging me and stabbing me at the same time. I love it. That's my life in Hollywood.
That is Bean in a nutshell as well. Hugging and stabbing. That's the name of his autobiography.
I remember seeing you in movies like Hustle and Flow and things like that and going, that guy is weird. What is that guy's deal?
I don't go outside.
Ever.
I don't go in the sun.
He got to K-Rock today through a pneumatic tube. It was quite extravagant. You've been doing a lot of press for the return of Legit.
Yes,
and I need to talk to you about where you were last night. Now, I haven't seen it yet. I did tape it, but I didn't get a chance to watch it. You were on Conan last night.
Yeah, I was on Conan.
And I know you love those guys.
Who
was the other guest on the show, DJ?
Michelle Dockery, Lady Mary from Downton Abbey, which is
a
show that I love.
You watch Downton Abbey?
I do. I mean, it's a really great show. I mean, it's gotten a little soap opery. It went rapey this year, which I didn't really love. but it's a great show, and I'm obsessed with her. She's like cold enough and hot enough, but still not so hot that you wouldn't think you had a chance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, what do you mean by cold enough?
Well, like, don't you? I like somebody to treat me a little bad, don't you?
Oh, I see what you mean. I just didn't know
it's
if
not,
you meant
when people are too nice. I'm like, there's something wrong with you, clearly, if you like me this much.
She's a little bit of an ice queen, and spoiler alert, she went through a mourning period where she was completely shut down. She would give nothing to anyone. But now she's coming out of her shell a little bit, and she's juggling a couple of dudes, and she's getting kind of flirty, and she just couldn't be any hotter than she is right now.
See, it's taking me out of it. I liked her sad.
I liked her sad.
I really did.
That's an odd thing to say.
You're a big-time TV and movie star, DJ, so you meet lots of people. But you're still a human and a fan of show business. So you like you said, Downton Abbey is one of your favorite shows. So what were you like when you met her last night? Did you geek out or did you play it cool because you guys were both just actors in the same business?
No. Her dressing room was right next to mine, and I put my ear to the wall to see if she was in there.
Did you drill a hole?
I went straight up stalker. I was like, this could be my first restraining order.
Been looking for that.
And I finally got a picture with her. They orchestrated it where the producer was like, as soon as she was coming off, they're like, hey, can we get a picture of you guys? And it was totally because I wanted one. The show didn't care. But my heart was like leaping out of my chest. I think it's really cool that I get to meet people that I like. And I think it's kind of dicky if you ever stop being a fan. Like, I'm not too cool to like stuff.
Yeah, there's no reason why you shouldn't. I mean,
I hate hipsters. I hate hipsters. It's cool to like things. Popular things are popular because they're good.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why people apologize for the things that they like either.
Guilty pleasure? I hate that phrase.
I agree.
There's nothing guilty about pleasure.
But there are some illegal things
you
should be guilty about.
Yeah, well, if you're touching little people.
No one's saying that.
It's not a guilty pleasure. That's a crime.
Right. Agreed.
No, but I think what DJ is saying, and I completely agree with him.
I know you do.
If you love the Pet Shop Boys, just love the Pet Shop Boys.
Exactly.
You don't have to love them ironically.
Oh,
you don't
have to love them. People that love things ironically. I just want to punch Silver Lake in the face.
The whole city?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Did she know who you were? Did Michelle know? Had she heard of Legit?
I'm sure she did.
Because she's all British and whatnot.
There was no. I'm famous in England. There was no flair of recognition in her face
at
all.
You saw nothing in her eyes?
No, but I think that she's dead inside. That's why she's such a good actress.
And that draws you to her.
Yeah.
Now, in a million years, would you ever take the next step and ask somebody like that out?
No.
Why?
No, because, well, first of all, you've had actresses on this show, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you met a sane actress? And you haven't.
There are actresses I would want to date, absolutely.
No, dude, but don't invite crazy into your house.
Not all actresses are crazy.
Just most.
Well, here's the thing. They're not actually crazy, but the business makes them crazy. Imagine, like, if you're you get famous because you're hot, and that starts to slide away from you, it makes people nuts.
Yeah, it drives them out of their minds.
Yeah. So you can be their friend.
Okay.
But you got to be able to, you know, have some distance from that.
Okay,
man.
But so you didn't want to ask her out. How about nailing her?
I'd nail it, Lady Mary.
All right.
Okay. You know who? I actually like her sister Edith too.
I don't know her.
Now, Edith's interesting because
they say she's ugly, but she's not. She has a snaggle tooth, one of them. But she's English.
you have to have one if you're English.
She's exactly. A really good actress in that when she's happy, like when her fiance was still alive, when she was happy with him, she was hot. And then when she's sad, she's not hot because that's how it plays on her face. Is she just looks super mopey.
But clearly, you like Mary when she's in a better mood too. You like happy people.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
You're happy to be sad. I'm drawn to sad. So I know that you're probably not going to go anywhere.
So Sybil is your favorite because she's dead, right?
Yes,
so she's got to be your favorite of all the sisters.
The dead one is my most favorite one.
All right,
she's not going anywhere. You know that.
We have established that. We have to take a very quick break and come back with our friend TJ Qualls. We've barely gotten a chance to scratch the surface of his wonderful life and the fact that Legit is back tonight on FXX at 10. And that's the very special episode featuring Dr. Drew and our own Mike Catherwood, too. We'll talk all about that when we return after this on K-Rock. Season one of Legit aired at the first few months of last year, and it's been gone for a while, and now it's coming back, and it's going to be on FXX tonight at 10 o'clock, the beginning of season two. So, DJ, sometimes we hear that shows are on, and then thanks to reruns, more and more people discover them. Yours wasn't out on DVD until just this week, but do you find, as you're going around, that there's a lot of anticipation from new Legit fans who can't wait to see the new episodes?
You know, I'm at the point now in the publicity tour. Toward the end of it, you're just like, oh my God, I'm tired of telling people to watch something they're going to like. But as people are tweeting me, like, they'll find it and they'll watch one episode and then they'll start liking it. It's a really good show.
It's a really good show.
I wouldn't have gotten up at 6 o'clock in the morning to be here if it wasn't good.
You barely made it up anyway.
I know. I love you guys, but this was tough.
Yeah.
but no, I'm so proud of it. It is the best thing that I've ever done. I think we come out on Netflix like a month into our run, which isn't really going to help us for the initial push.
But I know, right?
But I think that when people find it, they'll start, because that's how I find everything. It's how I found Downton Abbey. It's how I find anything that I watch currently. I'll watch an episode as it's airing and then go back and binge watch the whole first or second season.
Here's the thing about Legit. It is the wrongest show on TV. And yet, it has really great heart.
It does.
And that's a weird mixture. Because it's the wrong part is wrong.
Right. You know, I don't even think I understand what wrong is anymore. I've lost the ability to feel shame doing this show. I remember the first season, I would get scripts. I'm like, oh no, I've got to be naked, or I've got to do this, or somebody's got to wipe my butt on camera. I don't want that. And then now, like this, there's an episode where I have to operate a mechanical sex swing this season, and I was
well,
like,
of course there is.
Yeah, and I was like, I read that, and it didn't even faze
something me. Else you have in common with Downton Abbey.
But I felt like it doesn't really. You're so numb and kind of dead inside from what you've had to do.
Oh, don't be dead inside.
Dead inside's great. It doesn't hurt anymore. No, but you don't really see what you're doing until the guest star comes on and has to do it with you. When my guest, the co-star, had to get in the sex swing and actually do me, I was like, oh yeah, we're putting a girl in a sex swing today.
Yeah.
I told her that I wouldn't let her vagina be on television, and I didn't.
Well, good for
because
you.
Because you're a gentleman.
I'm a gentleman.
You're a gentleman. Now, in case you're wondering why DJ is talking about, if you haven't seen the show, you're wondering why someone's wiping his butt. On the show, he has muscular dystrophy.
Yeah.
And he's in a wheelchair, and he does require a lot of help. But what I love about, one of the things that I love about the show is you're still just one of the boys. I mean, you go everywhere and do, it's not like that stops you from doing all the crazy stuff that everyone else on the show does, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a... I mean, to be, on a serious note, doing the shows, it's become really important to me that we do an accurate portrayal. And also, I mean, we have a lot of episodes where it's not even, my disease isn't even mentioned.
Right.
He really is just one of the guys. And he's, right. He gets as much crap as anybody else on the show. He's an equal opportunity butt of the joke. And that's what I really like about the way we portray the character. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from the disabled community. And they're really stoked to see a positive portrayal. I mean, nobody's tiptoeing around the issue.
You like Billy, too, don't you?
I do. I really like him. I mean, he's a... You know, what playing him for me is such a cool thing, because I get to relive all these firsts, you know? Like, the first time he had sex, the first time he went on a date, his first relationship, the first time he tried drugs, all that stuff that are milestones in your life, I'm getting to relive for the first time through somebody else. So that's a really cool thing.
I remember last year when we were talking about you being on the show, you were sort of scared off by Jim Jefferies.
Yeah. Oh,
and then
yeah.
You became friends with him.
Yeah. I'm not even joking. They showed me a stand-up, and I turned down the show. I was like, no way. Because I had to be naked in front of him.
And you knew that the first episode was he gets you a hooker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he has to undress me and stand over my naked body. And I was like, I just can't be naked in front of this dude. He's mean.
His comedy is pretty mean.
Yeah, it's mean. Is. But
it's funny.
There's an honesty about him, though. And in real life, he probably wouldn't want me to say this, but he's a pretty gentle guy. He's become one of my best friends. And I'm so glad that I took this job, because I never would have met him otherwise. And I do love the guy a lot. And he's a new baby that I also am in love with. And, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah, it does terrify us a little bit that he's raising a kid, but I mean, we'll take your word for it that he can handle it. Let's play a clip.
Is that what you're saying? Can he handle it?
Yeah.
How would you rate him as a father? That's my question.
He is a great dad.
He is.
Yeah, he really is a great dad.
I would have guessed otherwise.
I think people with bad childhoods, if they realize, because his childhood was not great, and neither was mine, but the thing that's cool about dads who can sort of recognize what went wrong, you do the opposite.
Right.
He knows not. He's the guy's pretty self aware. He knows he's not repeating any patterns, I don't think.
Fantastic.
That is stunningly good analysis, DJ.
I don't even remember what I said.
Let's play. Kevin, you had a chance to see tonight's episode on that will air on FXX at 10 of Legit. Tell us about it, and then let's hear a clip.
Well, Jim Jefferies, the episode begins tonight with him having himself. And then he's going to go on Loveline with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike. And he doesn't let DJ come, or Steve, your brother.
Come along with him.
Come along with him.
Right.
Come along with
Thank you, DJ.
Thank you. That's very important. And he shows up at Loveline, and Dr. Drew is analyzing Jim Jefferies as perhaps a sex addict.
This is really going to help us determine whether you have sexual addiction.
Yeah.
All right. Do you need greater variety, increased frequency, or more extreme sexual activities to achieve the same level of excitement and pleasure?
Yes.
All right. When was the last time you masturbated?
Just before I came to the show.
Does pornography occupy large amounts of your time?
I have a lot of free time.
He has nothing going on.
Comedian. Does each new relationship have the same destructive pattern as the last?
Well, yes, I'm single, so yes, none of them have worked out. So this...
Takes the paper.
Here we go. Yes, yes, yes. No to wait.
Oh, animals are safe.
Wow, Dr. Drew can really act.
Yeah, if you look Dr. Drew in the eyes, he's going to diagnose you.
He will.
I'm an alcoholic.
That's why I avert my eyes every time he shows up. He did? He diagnosed you?
Yeah, there's like five warning signs or something. And one of them is, do you drink when you're stressed? Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And like, I don't like the taste of alcohol. So when I drink, I'm drinking to get drunk. So do you have more than five alcoholic beverages in one sitting when you drink? Yes.
Always.
I'm an alcoholic.
All right.
Is Drew trying to get you into his celebrity rehab?
No.
I don't think he's doing that anymore.
That's what he does, you know.
Not anymore.
But on tonight's episode, you'll see Jim Jefferies go to a Sex Anonymous meeting.
Right.
And that's awesome, because he doesn't know how to.
And he brings me home a present.
He does. Yes.
Yeah. That, I can say that.
I love this show. All right, Legit returns tonight at 10 on FXX. So, DJ, you drove all the way down here. Do you have to go, or can you stick around for one more?
I can stick around for one more.
Cool.
Fantastic. We'll return after this on K-Rock. Not in front of the guest, Kevin.
That's Bean singing.
That's great.
That's Bean.
That should not have been captured on tape. I apologize that you had to hear that, DJ Qualls.
DJ is here because season two of Legit premieres tonight on FXX. I know you don't think you have
that channel. No, it's FXX.
Well, that's what I said.
No, it's FXX.
Oh, instead of FXX.
Yeah, they spent like $30,000 in media training on me to teach me that. FXX.
Okay. All right. Noted that. FXX. You do have that channel probably, but you should double check
it's
and get
between
all set
like
up.
It's between like PBS HD and like Forbes Network, so it's so easy to find.
It's only like five clicks away from the original FX, right?
No, I don't know. On my cable, it's in an area of channels that you don't use.
Look, don't
so
be
you got to
find
it. Find
the channel.
Yeah, you got to find
the show.
It's not
find
hard.
It's worth finding.
Right.
DJ is the most interesting man in the world. He has told us things off the air that we will never ever repeat. But
thank
I'm
you.
So
they would
happy
wreck my
that
life.
I'm so happy that I heard them. I have to thank you, DJ, so much for coming in and making my whole year with that story.
Although
that
when was you started talking about art, I was out. I don't understand that world.
Well, I mean, it's not for everybody.
Tell people what your main
your passion is.
Yeah, I like French paintings from like 1870 to around 1943.
Obviously,
I know it's
who doesn't.
But I started liking art a few years ago. Well, I've always liked it, but I started collecting it when I realized that it was within reach for me.
Who's the big name from that time period? Who's the most famous of those
painters?
Why don't
you open up a blog?
I mean, the Monets and those type of people. There's a second tier, and those paintings cost like $30 million. But there's a second tier, like the Louis Valtats and Edward Villard. And those paintings are hundreds of thousands of dollars, too. But you can find deals. I don't spend that kind of money. They're just nice things to have. And, when you collect art, it's like it's something that you're entrusted to take care of so somebody else can have later and make money on it, hopefully.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a plan in your head in the event of a fire or flood of how you're going to grab that stuff and get out of your house?
You're supposed to leave it.
Yeah, you're supposed to leave it. There are a couple of things I probably would try to save. I have sprinklers, so I'm hoping that takes care of it. Thank you for that.
Yeah, way to bring them down.
Now I feel terrible. Like, all my stuff's going to burn up.
Well, I'm just saying, you got to have a plan. That's all.
Dude,
I have a plan.
I once was afraid to take a bath because after my first earthquake, my shower used to be in my bathtub, and I was afraid the ceiling was going to collapse, and the water would still be running, and I would drown if an earthquake happened. So these kind of things.
That was a real fear?
That was a real fear.
Wow.
And I had to go somewhere and talk about it. So, I am so nervous and, like, anxiety ridden, like you can't put those kind of thoughts in my head. I started meditating, and the other night I was meditating and it worked. And right before I fell asleep, I was so calm. My brain said, I wonder if this is how people feel right before they die.
Oh.
And then I started thinking, what if my brain knows that my heart's going to stop beating and it's trying to lull me into a sense of security? And I had a panic attack, dude. So stop telling me bad things.
You just said a minute ago you had to go talk to somebody about it. You do therapy?
No, I did then.
Did then?
Yeah.
You're the most interesting man in the world. You really are.
Dude, it's like the Wizard of Oz in my head. It's like all like winged monkeys being lost in the woods. You don't want to unleash them.
Why did you tell us that your parents will not see Legit?
Oh, so my parents are not going to be able to see the second season of the show because they have to get a cable box. Literally, my dad called me. He's like, hey, buddy, we're not going to be able to see the show because we got to get a cable box. I'm like, dude, they're $4.99. Your son is on television. Do you have any idea how hard it is to get these jobs? But they're just so over it. Like, I remember once I did a movie when I did Hustle and Flow, which won Sundance. My dad was like, that was a really small part. That was what he said about it.
I'm so proud of you for being in such a great movie.
I mean, they love me, but like 2 years into my career, they all act like they were writing for Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now, did they like the first season?
Yeah,
just not enough to get the box.
Yeah, but somebody stopped my stepmom at Walmart in my rural town in Tennessee and told her I was a smut peddler.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Well, that's kind of accurate.
It is, but you don't tell my mom that.
You've been on so many shows, DJ, and I'm just curious, like, have any of them broken through to your family? Like, I don't know what it would take. Is it Breaking Bad? Is it Big Bang Theory?
No.
Is it CSI? What's the one that they actually do get excited about?
In 2006, I did a movie with Larry the Cable Guy, and I was the most famous person in Tennessee
that's
for like 20 minutes.
Because it's Tennessee?
Because
right.
It's relatable, and they understand it.
you know, I quit law school to become an actor, and my dad was really upset about it because it couldn't seem real to him. And so that was in 2000. 2005 or 6, I did the movie Larry the Cable Guy, and then it all became real.
Yeah, that's what he was like. That was a good decision.
Yeah, because it's what they know.
Now, did you offer them to buy them the box so they could see the show?
No, because I didn't want to insult him. That's the other thing, is that I come into town and I feel like everything I do is filtered through what I do for a living. You know what I mean? Like, if I start offering to buy things for people, then they'll think, oh, this guy's coming in here and trying to buy me
something. Are you worried they just don't want to watch it?
No, I think, you know what? I think they want me to send them DVDs or something like that, like after the fact.
Okay.
But you know
what? Well, they can wait 8 months for it then. Do you ever go back to Tennessee?
I do. I went home recently. I hadn't been home in a couple of years. I went home for Christmas. It was interesting. There was a sign outside of Nashville that said, gun silencers are legal. And that was the whole sign.
That was it?
Yeah, I don't know what it means. I asked my brother what it meant. He was like, well, it means they're legal, dude. And I was like, okay. But I was like, is there a political message behind it? And I was like, I don't know. And so, and that same day, his, because I have a mildly southern accent, but I don't have as bad as it used to be.
Right.
But one of my brother's coworkers told me I had a foreign accent.
A foreign
accent? Yeah, I talk British.
British?
Yeah.
Because you sound like a guy who's left the state of Tennessee in your life. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, I love Tennessee, though. It took me a long time to understand how great it was. It's a great place to be from. I don't think I could ever live there again just because of the politics I don't really agree with.
That's the way I feel about Phoenix.
Yeah, but
the exact same thing. I grew up in Phoenix,
love it.
But I wouldn't want to go back and live
it's
there.
It's beautiful, and you know, being away from it for a while like made me realize like how lucky I was to be. Like, it's pretty safe.
Let me ask you this, though. When you went back, and I know we only have a couple minutes left here with DJ Qualls we're talking to from Legit tonight, 10 o'clock on FXX.
Right?
FX.
When you go back to Tennessee, do you feel at home there, or do you feel completely out of sorts because your life is so far removed from that town now?
You know, there's both. I feel at home because when I go now, I'm really only with my family. What was kind of heartbreaking is that when I first started doing movies, people acted like they never met me before. And people that I went to high school with would ask for my autograph. And that's sort of the last thing that you want when you want to go home and just be.
Right,
yeah.
Because you want to be who you were then.
Yeah, and people get like kind of shaky around me. And I get it. Like, when I meet famous people, I'm not saying I'm that famous, but I kind of am. But when I meet famous people, I still feel that. Like, people that I really admired, like, growing up. But these people know me, and that so it sort of makes it not as fun.
They know you, and they knew you before.
Right.
Right.
And I really am totally the same, except now I have a lot of French paintings from 1870 to 1943.
Well, I'm sure they want to hear about that when you go hang out with them in the Circle K parking lot. That's the topic on their mind.
That was awesome.
I want a reality TV show about DJ Qualls and his life. I really, really do. All right, we are out of time. FXX tonight at 10 o'clock. It's the return of Legit with DJ and our friend Jim Jefferies. We love this show so much. Trust us when we say you are missing out if you are not watching this. It is one of the funniest shows on TV, and if you like Kevin and Bean, you'll definitely like the show. DJ, come back and see us anytime, my
Thanks, guys. I had a really great time.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph, you're going to have to hang on for a few more minutes. Petros is coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with the Bachelor Report from last night's episode.
Greatest episode ever.
I hope we get to it. I mean, it's a busy hour.
You're
so.
Getting to it.
We'll get to it. Maybe,
you're getting to it.
Maybe at 10:30 with Kat.
You're getting to it. I was dead or alive. You're getting to it.
And we'll also catch up with our friend Adam Carolla. That's coming up. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Congratulations to former Office star Jenna Fischer. Love Jenna. Love her so much. Lovely gal. Very talented. Expecting her second child with her husband Lee Kirk. Couple already has a toddler named Weston. That's a great name for a kid. Weston Kirk. Born in 2011. They were married back in 2010. Jeff Probst did the officiating, by the way.
Okay.
Oh. I just talked to him earlier. Jenna's first pregnancy was written to the script for The Office as well. You may remember that. Remember when she was pregnant?
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So congratulations to those guys. If your last name is Kirk, how do you not name your
you
kid
You don't
James?
Name your
you
kid. Nope.
Kid, you
don't.
Name your kid James
or Captain.
Tiberius. That's what you name your kid. No other choices.
Yeah, I don't think
there
so.
Are no choices.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you want to saddle the kid with that.
Saddle him with greatness?
Well, I'm just saying.
Maybe he's the one who grows up to pilot the starship. You don't know.
The starship is not piloted,
how
Ralph.
Do you
That's
make,
fiction.
How
that
do you
fiction.
Make it happen? We know what happens in the future. How do we make it happen now?
It's fiction.
You're fiction. Boom. Burn.
That doesn't make sense.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know Martha Stewart is horny.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Time for you to make your move, buddy.
Negative. Nope.
Couldn't she borrow something from Barbara Walters?
Did an interview with Us Weekly magazine. Here are some of the quotes. I will show you how to make passionate love using only string, two empty pickle jars, and some wrapping paper, she said.
Ugh.
Regarding her,
she's wacky.
Her fame for putting together a lovely accoutrement.
Now, wasn't she, didn't we hear that she was on one of the dating services? She was online looking for a man.
Yeah.
She was pretty heavily advertising that she was single and alone.
Yep. They also asked her, she had mentioned before, one of her dream dinner guests would be Christian Bale.
Right.
And so she said, they said to her, would you still like to sit down and have dinner with eat with Christian Bale? Her answer was, I don't think eating is exactly what I want to do with Christian Bale.
No.
Yeah.
No,
indeed. Come on, Christian. You know you want some
no.
of that. You want
no.
some of that Martha Stewart.
This nope. has to kill Kevin to hear a woman in her 60s talk about sex.
Yeah.
It's not just 60s, Bean. You got hot 60-year-olds.
That is the F word,
what
Kevin.
The,
what are you talking about? Well,
that's
we can't,
a word we can't use?
We can't Look, say that now?
No, you can't. Never.
I don't want to live in this America. Look, Martha Stewart, I know that you're annoyed by her because of her, you know, the stuff that
I'm
she does.
I'm annoyed by
on
you because
TV.
You find her hot.
No,
more
she
than
is hot. She, first of all, she was a gorgeous young person. Ralph will back me up on this. She was a very successful model for a number of years, and she aged very, very beautifully. She is a very, very attractive older woman.
Nope.
Ralph, help me out here,
where
buddy.
Where does she fall on your list of attractive women in their 60s, B, that you obviously have crafted while driving around one day?
Look, she's I think she's almost as hot as Helen Mirren.
Wow.
When can we get to Bean Makes List? When
is we'll
that?
Have
when
to
is
do that tomorrow.
Segment?
We have to do that tomorrow. Bean spends every day making lists.
Constantly arranging.
Any thought that comes to his head, he's got to make a list of it.
Arranging just different sort of proper nouns in his head and some sort of ranking system at all times.
Ralph, admit to me that Martha Stewart is an attractive older woman.
I think at one time she was an attractive woman, yes. But I think her persona and her personality greatly overshadow any sort of attractiveness that she has. My
but
instant
then,
reaction to her is so is such a one
it's
of
poison. That's
yeah,
what it,
it's
yeah.
of repulsion that I can't get past that to even look at her in any sort of
really. That's
way.
Interesting. Correct. I'm not offended by it. I do not find her an annoying or irritating person. And I also would like to point out that she also gets points for being unbelievably wealthy too. That makes her even more attractive.
I don't think guys really factor in the wealth.
That doesn't make someone hot.
I've never been turned on by, oh, that woman's rich. I'd like to do
I'm
her.
Looking for a sugar mama, remember?
Oh, I forgot, yes.
You're the guy, too.
You want to bring all that hot passion in exchange for some,
that's right.
some financial windfall. I forgot. Forgot
Look,
that's
no.
your angle. You're like a, you're a modern gigolo. You're a modern day American gigolo.
I'm just putting it out there. If there are any other, if there are any very wealthy, attractive older women who would like to take care of me, I yeah. think we can strike a deal. That's
you know,
all I'm saying.
I bet those wealthy, attractive women, they also have lists.
Yeah.
And the list of guys they would lavish with the expensive gifts and money in order to get sex from him. You fall the bottom of that list.
Yeah, okay. I may not be what they're looking for. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Speaking of which, Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
Reportedly, Casper Smart, her backup dancer boyfriend, some 20-odd years her junior.
Right.
Had full-blown plans to propose over the Valentine's Day holiday.
What happened?
She caught wind.
Oh.
She put the kibosh on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, if you're planning on asking me.
Literally. She said, it's not happening. It's not where I'm at in my life. No plans. No intention. If, in fact, the source said that she got wind of the information, found out about the plan, went to him and said, return whatever ring you got and get your money back for that ring.
Wow.
Well, she's been married 3 times already.
Yeah, with not much success. So she's calling it a day, I guess, when it comes to marriage, at least with 24-year-old backup dancers or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying, if Casper Smart, who's a good-looking buff guy, Bean, if he can't cash in on that train.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny when you look at all the rich women that are out there, rich celebrities.
Oh, come on!
at least I get to do the setup.
No, idiot.
Come on.
No.
There's always room for J-Lo. That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity.
Come on now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Teresa Palmer from Warm Bodies. He's 28 years old.
Yeah.
Erykah Badu is 43. Corinne Bailey Ray. 35 years old today. I wonder what it would sound like if Kevin tried to say that name.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow.
In your defense,
just let it go.
In your defense, Kevin, you did make it an unforgettable moment for me. That's for sure. Actor Greg German is 56 years old today, and Michael Bolton, singer, songwriter, legend. Captain Jack Sparrow, he's 61. Tim Comerford from Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine turns 46 today. Bassist for those bands. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Nobody can accuse Adam Carolla of not being available to his fans. Lots of chances to hang out with the Ace Man, including tomorrow night in Hollywood at Outpost, a Mangria party with Adam and the crew of Carolla Digital. He also has a couple of live podcasts coming up at the Hollywood Improv on Saturday, March 8th. Tickets available right now at adamcarolla.com. And Kevin, you and I are involved in an event that's going to be at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center on Thursday, March 27th. You, me, Mark Maron, and others, along with Adam Carolla. It's the Carolla Podcast Legal Defense Fund Benefit Show. Adam, that is a mouthful. What the hell does it all mean?
Well, we're getting sued by patent trolls, and it literally cost about $1.5 million in legal funds to fight patent trolls.
Wow. Now, do I understand correctly that somebody is suing you because you're the most popular of all the podcasters, and they're basically saying we own the technology to make podcasts available, therefore you're infringing on our property?
They own one, you know, they buy up patents. Conglomerations get together, a bunch of lawyers, they buy up patents, and then they use those patents to sue Google and Apple and anybody else in the technological, and they're murky. It's like, it's not, they don't own podcasting. They own some patent that has some sort of sequencer. So if you're putting yours in numerical order and putting them on iTunes, they claim to own that. But the point is if we lose, the rest of the podcasts are coming with us.
Oh,
because they'll just go after everyone who has a podcast. They're just going after us because we're number one. But all the other podcasts will be after us in short order if they win, so we got to fight it.
Okay, understood. So we'll definitely be talking more about that as we get closer to the event, and we're happy to help you out and be part of that. Again, that's the Carolla Podcast Legal Defense Fund Benefit Show. It's happening at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, and that is going to be Thursday, March 27th. Get details and tickets at adamcarolla.com. The Ace Man joins us each week for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Three and working our way up to number one. First, great, you know, I have my coffee table book ideas that I'm in love with. I have the Bar Mitzvah 1977 to 1983. Just a book of bad Bar Mitzvah shots from that particular snapshot in time. Same years, by the way, I have one called the Dade County Black Prom. 77, 83, just some good prom shots from that era, from that neck of the woods. I've come up with my third. I'm in love with this one. This is a series of shots taken by folks. Could beat the Hooters, could beat the casino. I was at the Gillies in Treasure Island. Chicks wearing chaps and halter tops. And, you know, whenever they have the uniform, the tight-fitting uniform,
right.
Chicks dressed up like a genie or a cowgirl or the Hooters girl, whatever it is. But that one where the chick is kind of outgrown her limits just a little bit. Just maybe had a kid, came back a little too soon, maybe a few too many shots with some of the regulars, a couple too many wings. It's called I Need to See You in My Office. Just candid shots of those chicks leaning over the table, handing out the tray of wings with the belly flopping over the shorts. Would you not buy that coffee table book?
I think it's a great idea. I don't know that I would put it in my home.
Okay.
All right.
Just do the black prom and the bar mitzvah one then.
Okay,
that's
good.
Fine.
Good. But I appreciate that you're thinking of new coffee table books for America, Adam. That's a great use of your time.
Thank you. Number two, you know, it struck me, the cowboy hat, much like the guitar. We spoke about the guitar before. You play the miniature guitar, that's a ukulele, you get no ass.
Right.
You play that huge guitar in the mariachi band, you get no ass. It has to be the middle-sized guitar, the Jimi Hendrix-sized guitar, the Eric Clapton guitar. That's where you get the tail, right?
Right, okay.
Too big, too small, no good. I was thinking about that with cowboy hats. Cowboy hats, you know they curl up just a little bit on the edge?
Right.
Sure.
It has to have the exact right pitch, and you look like Clint Black. If they curl up too much, you look like a crazy miner or some guy was in a hair band from the 80s and male pattern baldness has set in. And if they droop down, they look like an orca whose dorsal fin is falling over because it's depressed. Like, it either means you've had a horrible day or you got stuck out in the rain or you're just... You're the worst cow. You're the puss in the group who can't shoot straight. Just think about the rake on the edge of the cowboy hat.
Okay, it has to be just right.
Just so. And number one, they just got rid of this. They finally retired the Got Milk campaign.
Right. Yeah, we were surprised by that.
I'm happy by it. I, by the way, had to move on when they spread it all over. I think it was Patrick Ewing. First off, he got very homoerotic. Go look up Rodman. It is gay. It is a fireman's calendar is what it is. Shirt off, white stuff splattered all over the face. But first off, when a guy has a mustache and then does the milk, it makes it bizarre to me, number one.
Okay.
But... here's what I'm saying. It's 2014, still arguing about milk. You know, you got those idiots that are like, you know, we're the only mammals that drink another mammal's milk, okay? Do you think that's right? And we're the only mammals, you know, because everyone's drinking almond milk and soy milk and lard milk and whatever milk they got out there. And everyone does the, then you get the guy who says, you know, other mammals, we drink milk into adulthood. Other mammals don't. And here's what I want to say to all you asswipes with the other mammals. I'd like to park the space shuttle on top of the Golden Gate Bridge and go, hey, bitch, any other mammals come up with this S? Well, then maybe they ought to get on the milk. I don't see manatees right. Doing this, do you?
That's right.
What are you pointing us at? I'm going to take your argument and shove it right back in your face. What's wrong with all the other mammals? Maybe they should be sharing each other's milk well into adulthood.
And they could step it up.
It does seem like it's working out for humans pretty well.
You
don't see dogs
space,
and cats on the moon.
You come down outer space, you land in the middle of Chicago, and you go, what mammal's responsible for all this? Us, bitch, the one who's drinking the milk.
Exactly. There you go. There's your new Got Milk campaign right there. Adam, you're onto something. All right, no milk, but Mangria meetup tomorrow at the Outpost in Hollywood. That's at 9 o'clock. Adam Carolla Show live podcast at the Hollywood Improv coming up on March 8th. And don't miss the very special Carolla Podcast Legal Defense Fund Benefit Show with Mark Maron, Kevin Bean, and the Ace Man himself. Details at adamcarolla.com. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ, Kevin and Bean Show, 924.
I am a little bit concerned that this this bachelor infection is spreading. Yesterday, it was on our Tuesday. Now it's on our Wednesday. And I what's happening here, Ralph?
Because last night was the most amazing episode ever of The Bachelor. The masquerade is over. The true Juan Pablo was revealed. It was mythical. P, are you with me?
I'm here, and it was unreal, boys. I was absolutely riveted deep into the evening. We're talking about television history, and you're calling us a spreading infection?
Yeah. Well, let's find out what happened as we get into the Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis El Bachelor Report.
Oh, yes. Welcome to Juan Pablo Eri. Here's Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis. This is the Bachelor Report.
So what happened? Why was it such groundbreaking TV, you guys?
Let me give you a little backstory for those of you who don't follow The Bachelor. Juan Pablo became The Bachelor this season because of his appearance on the show last season. And he was this strikingly handsome, exotic Latino soccer player in great shape who was desperately in love with his little baby girl daughter and was looking for a mother for her. He was lonely and he was just searching for family and love, and he was so heartfelt and sincere that America fell in love
with
him.
And I believe you guys did too at the beginning of the season and then throughout this. The Bachelor, though, it seems like you've soured on Juan Pablo.
Lies!
To be honest, I came kind of the other way back around last night, Ralph.
What?
I mean, look, that woman just wanted to beat up on a guy who had English second language at the end of the day. I mean, I know he's an idiot. There's no doubt. And I know there's a language barrier. But how much of a pound of flesh did that chick want? She's a prosecutor. I mean, it was almost like somebody was beating up a dog on TV. It got uncomfortable.
All right, let's explain what happened last night. There were three overnight dates. This is where he's down to the last three women, and he really needs to decide who he's going to propose to. So they give him the chance to have a long day with that person. And at the end of that date, if they choose to, they can forego their separate rooms and they can share a fantasy suite together for the night, spend the night together, see what their chemistry is like.
Okay.
Now, Juan Pablo took each and every one of these girls up on that particular offer.
Of course he did.
They always do. Everybody does the fantasy.
But he was racing to it, Pete. Didn't he? Even three to dinner, like, hey, I want you to read this card. Read the card. Read the card. Read the card. Read the card. And this guy.
Hey, we want dessert to go. To go, okay? Yeah. Coffee and a paper cup.
Whatever. It's ice cream. We've already had ice cream in your life. Let's get to the fantasy suite. Nobody. This guy is just out to score with these bros.
He's a horn dog.
I firmly believe he has no real interest in a stepmother for his kid or a wife or a family or anything. He's just living the dream. That's all.
That I have a lot of respect for him because he's doing the right thing rather than do the choice of, hey, I met these women 3 weeks ago and now I'm going to marry one of them.
Bite your tongue. Okay. These women want a husband. They want to be a mother to Camilla.
That's right.
He's been misleading to them, if that is the case. We don't really know how this is going to unfold. But yes, Juan Pablo is about as shallow as a puddle in the desert.
And
there's not a lot there.
You can see on every date, as I watch the season, I realize he just has one base level of charm, and that's all he has going on. It's always the same thing. He moves their hair behind their ear. He touches their nose. He touches their chin. He's got the same shtick with each girl. As you watch him play these girls, it's all the same.
He says three things, guys.
Yes.
Three things. He says un beso when he asks for a kiss.
Right.
Un beso.
Un beso.
Un besito.
Un besito.
You know, between a little kiss and a big kiss.
Right.
And he says, it's okay. And he really got called out for that last night by the lawyer chick from Atlanta. And he says, it's fine.
He's fine.
So he says, it's fine, it's okay, and un beso. And he does the touching thing that Ralph said. And that is pretty much his arsenal, and it works.
It does?
Well, it works with most of the girls.
Most of them.
He went out with Claire. She's head over heels. She'll do anything he says. Nikki's head over heels in love with him, whatever she says. Then he went out with Andy, the prosecutor, the assistant district attorney of Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, she really is?
I thought you were just making fun of her.
She's a
law dog.
All right.
And so they go out on their date, and they spend the night together in the fantasy suite. Here is what Juan Pablo thought of their evening together in the fantasy suite.
Waking up this morning, I'm so happy about Andy. We had a great night together, you know. We freaking talk and laugh for hours. Hours. Like, hours. We just get along very well. Our chemistry, our connection, what we have. Well, I didn't know it was going to be this good.
Who knew their connection could be that good? Who knew?
Was it ours?
It was hours. Hours. I'm talking freaking hours. Now, it sounds magical. Let's hear Andy's side of the story.
The fantasy suite turned into a nightmare. I saw a side to him that I didn't really like, and the whole night was just a disaster.
Two differing,
differing
viewpoints on the same evening.
P, what's going on with Andy's perception of the evening?
Well, look, I think ultimately she wanted to start talking about herself, as many women do. They want to talk about themselves for a couple hours if they're in a bedroom with you. They want you to nod and look at them, and then they want to have sex.
Okay.
You've got to give the 2 hours. I mean, you got to clock in. It's a give and take. It's like buying dinner. So if he's not responding to anything she's saying, she's trying to tell him that she's a Catholic. She's trying to say, you know, about her family and where she comes from and where she went to college. And all he does is ask for a kiss and say he's okay. You know, she broke the code. You know, eventually she broke the freaking code. And Juan Pablo had no idea because he is deeply oblivious to everything going on around him. But at the end of the day, you know, that dumb chick from Sacramento is perfect for him.
Yes, she is.
They're going to be okay if he just chooses her.
Right.
Because she's white trash from Sacramento, and they can communicate on that level forever.
Yeah, that's true.
This girl, poor Ed, she's so smart, and she had a point. She's like, look, if you're going to propose to me in 2 weeks, shouldn't you know,
I don't know, my political affiliations or my religion or what I think about social issues? Shouldn't you know something about me? Shouldn't
it's okay.
you ask one thing
it's
about
okay.
me? And he kept saying, it's okay, it's okay. And she said, it's not okay. Stop saying it's okay. She literally said that to him and called him an asshole.
So did she quit? He didn't have to she eliminate quit. Her. She quit, right?
She walked. But Petros is right. Not before she hooked up with him one last time or met up with him one last time and just raked him over the coals for his behavior.
Wow.
Yeah, it was spectacular television.
We laughed for hours, he said.
He got prison shanked by her. Yeah. I mean, it was literally like arguing with, like, you know, a first grader. She was just pounding him into the ground and not letting him up for air. And
That's
I got
awesome.
Uncomfortable. Then I got mad at her. You know,
a little too
like,
much.
Well, look at her. She's mean.
Right.
Yeah, I kept saying that. I said that a little bit to my wife, and then I realized I better shut the hell up and stop saying that.
Yeah. So, guys, I know we're nearing the end. We're down to just two, Nikki and Claire. So what happens? Isn't there always a women tell all before we find out who he selects?
Next week, the women tell all. And I'll tell you something.
It's really Chris Harrison's time to shine and read the cue card.
How dare you? Chris Harrison is the man, and he will be on this show next week.
Hey,
we will talk
tell
about
Ralph
it.
What we heard from Chris Harrison as a result of P slandering him on yesterday's show, Ralph.
He said, P, he tweeted me, that he does indeed write all the invitation cards to the fantasy suite, mister.
Well, God, I hope so. Jeez, what does he do with the other 23 hours in the day?
How dare you? I will not have you besmirch my friend Chris Harrison's good name.
Oh, he's on Bob Costas' level to me.
Oh, how dare you?
That's just not even fair. Come
without
on.
The pink eye, without the pink
Harrison's
eye.
The man. You fail,
all right.
sir.
You can hear 4 full hours of Petros talking about The Bachelor on PMS this
it's
afternoon
okay.
from 3 till
it's
7
okay.
on AM 570.
It's
and
fine.
We will talk to you next week. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, tell Matt it's fine. He's coming back from the NFL Combine today, and he's going to get hit in the face with The Bachelor like a giant, you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
I want to talk about Clowney. Let's talk about Clowney.
Oh, yes. That was The Bachelor Report.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42. Brian Ludwig from Moreno Valley is maybe on his way to the Swiss Alps to see the Black Keys if he is selected as the winner of K-Rock's World Tour 2014 Destination Number 4. We'll find out in a couple days. Your chance to get qualified is still coming up at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 today. And every day this week, you can get to KROQ.com for all the details.
It's Ludwig. Hey, Ralph, it's Ludwig, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it? It's not Ludwig?
Brian Ludwig.
Maybe he's American.
I don't care. I'm starting a new thing where we pronounce all foreign words by their foreign pronunciation.
Okay, I like it.
That's my new thing. I'm going to be doing it all the time. So Brian Ludwig from Moreno Valley.
I like it.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Reef.
The reason I am on this kick, of course, is because I'm giving away tickets all week long to our special K-Rock advanced screening of the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yay!
Budapest.
Budapest.
Budapest in Hungary.
That's how they say it. I have a friend who just came back from there, Ralph. He
Budapest.
Said it's a beautiful city, by the way.
Came
but
back
he
from
says,
Budapest?
He says now he is torn because he knows now that he's been there that Budapest is the correct pronunciation, and it's a struggle for him every time he says it now because do I pronounce it properly or do I pronounce it the way we all pronounce it? Which one makes me look like less of a dick?
And that guy's totally worried about this? He's torn. He's emotionally torn.
Come on.
He needs to be medicated,
just
Kevin.
Say it either way. Who gives a crap?
Budapest.
Right. But if you say Budapest, you're being correct, but then everybody looks at you like you're saying it wrong. So how do you handle that?
You know,
that's a legitimate concern.
That's an absurd. It's not a legitimate concern, first of all. It's a minor, minor, minor concern.
Right.
And when I was getting coffee in the Los Feliz neighborhood the other day.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying. People always say Los Feliz. I think you run the risk of sounding pretentious if you say Budapest.
Sure. All right. Good.
So maybe he should just be American. Be American.
Yeah, anyway, why be right?
The reason I bring up the Grand Budapest Hotel is because it's the brand new movie from Wes Anderson, and we love Wes Anderson. He wrote this film, directed this film. It looks to be a very funny, like all of his films, funny but dramatic. It's a story of a concierge at a hotel in Budapest in the 30s who is framed for murder and has to team up with a teenage boy, one of the lobby boys, in order to prove his innocence.
wacky, crazy, weird movie. It takes place in the 1930s. But listen to this cast. Ralph Fiennes, first of all, stars.
Okay.
F. Murray Abraham.
Okay.
Adrian Brody.
Sure.
Willem Dafoe.
Right.
Jeff Goldblum.
All right.
Jude Law.
Good.
Harvey Keitel.
Still in the same movie?
Bill Murray. Edward Norton.
Mm-hmm.
Saoirse Ronan.
Right.
Jason Schwartzman. Tilda Swinton.
Okay.
Tom Wilkinson. And Owen Wilson, all star in the film.
In this one?
In this one movie.
That's insane.
You got it. You got to see that just by that roll call alone. You must go see this film.
Wow.
It's in theaters everywhere on March the 7th. However, if you'd like to see it early at our K-Rock screening, it's March the 6th at the Landmark in Los Angeles. Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through with that phone number will get a pair of tickets to go see the Grand Budapest Hotel at our special K-Rock advance screening. Wes Anderson, just one of those guys.
Yeah, he's got
a good movie.
He makes good movies.
He's
Kevin,
got a style all his own.
He does, and he doesn't disappoint, and he doesn't make blockbusters, you know. He's not of the Michael Bay school of mo money. But like the Coen brothers, and there's certain filmmakers that if you go to see their films, you know you will enjoy what they do.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Call right now and we'll get right back.
We're not going to get back to anyone.
I'm not sure how that works, but Kevin has a plan. So we're going to work that out. Angelina Jolie, she's got a busy career. 6 kids at home. But she still makes time to save the world, which I think is nice. Brad Pitt's baby mama went to visit a Syrian refugee settlement in Lebanon after the BAFTA Awards earlier this month. She was in London for the BAFTAs. And then she took a little showbiz side trip to a Syrian refugee camp in Lebanon where she met with the refugees there and sat down and talked with them.
Do you think they have any idea who she is?
I don't know.
Huh.
But by all accounts, everyone there was touched by her generosity and solidarity with the Lebanese people and the Syrians. And this is her third visit to the country, by the way, on behalf of the United Nations Human Rights Committee, which she's a member of. So she's kind of a spectacular woman when you think about all that she does.
I don't want to take anything away from what she's doing. But to Kevin's point, if they don't know who she is, how effective is she if she's just a random white person showing up to talk to people in the street?
Well, I think it's...
It's the coverage that probably counts, right?
Well, she is a fact-finding mission. She brings her opinions back to this committee of the nation, so I think she contributes in that way, is telling them, you know, proposing new ideas and giving new information. I mean, she is an active participant. But I think more importantly, I think regardless of fame or fortune, these people are touched and moved, and there's a quality of human contact when someone who was obviously not involved in the conflict comes from the outside. They know she's from America, a land of money and political power, and she's listening to their problems and commiserating with them and just having the contact with someone like that, I think must do a world of good for these people.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I think they do.
For them to feel that someone outside the situation cares and that people are concerned and maybe will want to help, I think it's an enormous, enormous thing.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
or it's a bunch of hogwash. I'm not quite sure. So we got that on one side. You got that.
Who's the counterweight? Who's the counterbalance?
Kris Jenner's in the news this week.
Of course she is.
People speculating. She's got an amazingly fresh, smooth new face she's been wearing these days.
Oh.
People wondering how that happened. Well, a guy named Dr. Anthony Yoon and some other plastic surgeons have gotten together and given their speculations, which is that she's had quite a few Botox injections. She's had fillers put in her cheeks, her temples, her jawline. She's had fat injections in her face, laser treatments, and perhaps even a face or neck lift.
Wow.
But almost unrecognizable these days, Kris Jenner. She's trying to match her soon-to-be ex-husband Bruce Jenner, operation for operation, apparently. They've got some sort of plastic surgery off they're going through, and no one knows who's going to win.
He's already more womanly than she is.
I'm not kidding you. I tuned in to watch the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills the other day.
Yes.
Because I heard LaQuisha talking about it on our show.
Yes. Worst best show ever.
And I caught the very tail end of Keeping Up with the Kardashians before E! Started that program. This follows the Kardashians. And there was Kim Kardashian in the plastic surgery office demanding that her plastic surgeon laser off a 3/4-inch scar she had on her big toe. I have a scar on my
toe, and I hate it. Can you take it off? I'm like, really? Are you just down to the toes now? Now you need laser treatments on your toes because your toes aren't whatever you think they're going to be?
She has too much time.
She's there without makeup because they did something to her face, and her lips looked like somebody hit her in the face with a frying pan. Just swollen, pumped up, injected, just big duck lips. Like, dude, look at the lips first before you look at the toe. Fix that. Fix that thing.
Maddening.
Meanwhile, Bruce may get an offer from Dancing with the Stars. Producers there want Bruce Jenner to compete next season. But there is a requirement. They are asking that he stop changing himself into a woman for the time being.
It's a strange request.
So they can just, they want him to, you know, resemble the Bruce Jenner that the public actually knows before competing. And then after that's over, then he can just go all hog wild and do whatever he wants.
Do we have any confirmation on what he wants?
I don't know.
Okay, it's just,
some said,
it's
a sex change. Some people said, no, it's not a sex change. He just has the body dysmorphia. You know, that syndrome where you're just not having anything, so you're constantly changing it. And no one really knows exactly what his end game is. But
well, he's spent the last 15 years in a family with stepkids who go and get their toes lasered. I mean, yeah. I'd be surprised if anybody in that family could look at their body in a healthy manner.
Yeah, but shaved Adam's apple, and they say he's growing his hair and his nails, and no one really knows what look he's trying to end up with.
Hmm.
I think only Reddington on the blacklist knows exactly what's happening behind the scenes with this surgery situation.
And is Bruce on the blacklist?
He's not telling. He may be on the blacklist. That's why he's changing his appearance. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Bolton, 61 years old today. Greg German celebrates his 56th birthday. Erykah Badu is 43. Teresa Palmer from the movie Warm Bodies and other projects. She's 28 years old. Tim Comerford from Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine turns 46. And Corinne Bailey Ray, she's 35 years old today. Kevin, what's her name again?
Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Wow. Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with Let's do it again.
How do you get to core and give up?
I don't know.
At what point is core? How do you? No, I can't go any further than that.
Can't. I don't.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dr. Drew on the program as we do on Thursdays. We have Donald Logue on the show tomorrow.
Love him so much.
Talking about the Vikings. Last time we talked to him about Sons of Anarchy, he died that night.
Yeah.
Sure did.
He's alive on the Vikings, and he's also Detective Harvey Bullock in the upcoming Gotham on Fox, which
nice.
We can talk to him about as well.
We also have the star of Portlandia, Fred Armisen, on tomorrow morning's show, so we will see you then.